another. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is Thursday. It's 11 a.m. and 30 seconds Central Standard Time. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours on this November 20th, 2008 edition. We will have open phones in this first hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour today. We have Jim Mars and Robert Groden on together in the next hour. Both of them leading JFK assassination experts, probably the two twin peaks there. Can't think of two people who are more informed, more involved, and more prominent. We'll discuss the 45th anniversary of the murder of JFK coming up this weekend. Also, the In the Fed protest that's coming up. I've got the Dallas leader of that joining us tomorrow because I'll be up in Dallas for that event as well. It's only about a mile and a half away from the grassy knoll, Dealey Plaza. Did Coast to Coast AM last night for an hour. That was interesting as usual. It's good to see George Norrie actually growing that show. I was reading in the newspaper, it is the only premier radio network show, national show, that is now making money. Do you know that? All the others are imploding, basically. But radio across the board is in deep trouble because every other industry is, not just media. It's the recession leading into depression. But again, because George has myself and others on and took that show in a new direction 5 years ago to about 30% New World Order news and information when you didn't basically get any of that before, it has actually grown. But a side issue, just wanted to plug that and also say we want George Norrie to have his new national TV show picked up permanently that's been airing all this week. The last one airs tonight at different times across the country and the world on the Sci-Fi Channel. Find out more at coasttocoastam.com. And why do we want that? Well, you know, they're doing some of the fun topics right now. Vampires, aliens, Atlantis. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. And George will tell you that himself on air. But that show gets picked up, folks. You're going to see some more serious topics and serious guests on it. So we definitely want that to happen. Plus, George is a great guy. So be sure and tune into that this evening on the Sci-Fi Channel. And let them know you appreciate it, because we need a friend in high places. That's why I hope Ventura and his Time Warner show, True TV, but he will not compromise on the show exposing 9/11 and JFK and other things. So he's, you know, said to me here on air and on other places that he doesn't even know if it will be picked up, but that pilot has been shot and should be airing the next 3 or 4 months or so. So that's exciting on that front as well. But I already digress into tertiary issues here, kind of inside baseball stuff. But, you know, I said I'd get into Mark Cuban yesterday and the Securities and Exchange Commission charging him civilly, but then same thing happened with Martha Stewart. It then led to criminal. And my involvement in the story, Loose Change Final Cut's involvement in the story. And so I'm going to write a note here today and try to get into that. I mean, I got into some of it yesterday, but not as much as I had wanted to. It is an important story of persecution and attacks on free speech. But when we get back, I haven't even gotten into the news, and I'm going to cover it. It is staggering. You know, the Chinese government is looking at buying up the big three U.S. automakers. Oh, yes. We'll be right back. And the communist Chinese government's running many of the ports in the United States. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
On this Thursday edition, thank you for joining us. Let's run through the headlines. Consumer price drops record 1% in October to the lowest since the last year of World War II. SAIC Dongfeng said to buy GM Chrysler assets. That's the Chinese government-controlled big two Chinese automakers. Chinese car makers are also seeking government aid, LA Times, but again, to buy U.S. automakers' factories. Port of Los Angeles security under control of Chinese president's son. Canadian Free Press, with Hillary coming back into the White House in multiple fronts, Secretary of State, where she's going to be the czar over socialized health care. Get ready for the parade of Chi-Com generals. Financials need another $1 trillion. Reuters, the bankers say, we need more. We need trillions more. Paulson was behind bailout. Martial law threat. PrisonPlanet.com headline. Senator Inhofe has been interviewed by the media. We have a clip coming up later. And he said, yeah, it was Paulson calling up threatening martial law. As if we needed Inhofe from Oklahoma to tell us that. Again, when this came out 5 weeks ago, and the congressman, one of the congressmen we interviewed about it, wouldn't talk about it under House rules. I said, well, we know you're in the meeting with Bernanke and Paulson and Kashkari, so which one was it?
Well, I can't tell you. I won't.
Well, we know now. More high treason by Paulson. Government can't handle gold run on gold coins, this out of the New York Post. All over the world, they just can't handle it. It's all being sold out as the price stays at $7.50. It's magical. You can't buy it, you can't find it most places, but the price goes down. Only in La La Land, but we're in La La Land. Alarm bells ring as Hillary offered leading role in American healthcare overhaul. Paulson supports FDIC foreclosure prevention plan, but then you read deeply into the facts, it's another bait and switch where they just keep the money, and then maybe if the Treasury feels like it later, if a bank renegotiates a mortgage, then maybe they might give them a little bit of money. Blackwater gunboats will protect ships on the West Coast and the East Coast of Africa. There's now pirating going on every day off of Nigeria, but mainly off of Somalia. They're on the Horn, and they grabbed a Saudi oil tanker, as you know, yesterday, three times the size of the biggest U.S. aircraft carriers. As big as they get. Mega ship. I mean, it is just society imploding in on itself as Somalis starve to death. I'm not defending what they're doing, but and take a look at those folks. They don't get much food, and that's what they're saying. And they also don't like the fact that this has been caught on video. The big ships pull up and dump their toxic waste right off the Somali coast, so the fish have all basically died. It's all part of just the raping and robbing going on by the elite as things break down. Gunboats will protect ships Blackwater. Who will protect us from Blackwater? When they're not in New Orleans confiscating guns. NATO chief calls for more non-U.S. troops in Afghanistan. MTA's planned cuts include everything from station agents to entire train lines. They're going to shut down in New York, Boston, D.C., you name it, shut down whole lines of public transit. Doesn't matter if it's $4 to $8 to basically go anywhere. And they're just going to make you crowd on like sardines even more. But don't worry, there will be more police searching you. There's lots of money for that. While the border stays wide open and millions of illegal aliens are released from prison, hundreds of thousands just in Texas a year, Houston Chronicle, who are aggravated felons. I'm not attacking the illegal aliens. I'm saying jeepers creepers, they should be held to the same laws. But see, it's not about law. It's about lawlessness. It's all about protecting the lawless, protecting the criminals, raping the population financially. Los Angeles Times, anti-war groups fear Barack Obama may create hawkish cabinet. And it goes into how they are stacking it with Republican and Democrat hawks from both the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, the second Bush administration, and the Clinton administration. Absolutely. What do you think is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? You are going to witness big problems. You are going to witness very serious increase in saber rattling, going into Pakistan, going expanding the force in Afghanistan, staying in Iraq, encircling Russia. It's all been announced. He's keeping Gates on. He's hired as his chief advisor, the richest slumlord in the U.S. who owns the giant facilities all over Chicago. I mean, it's just, this guy is a poverty pimp. You want change? Oh, you're going to get it. And they're not going to be saying, yes, we can. They're going to be saying, oh my God, what have we done? Help us. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Donald Driver's dad, beaten by Houston police after dispute, Sports Illustrated. And they admit here, they pulled a guy over, he argued, so they beat him into a coma. And witnesses said, they said, you're now going to see Jesus, and then cram some type of drugs in his mouth. And then took him to jail, and then they took him out in a coma out of the jail cell. This is in Sports Illustrated. I don't think these cops will get away with this, though, because there's money for lawyers. And again, I know all police aren't like this, but 20% probably are. And every couple days I read about them beating somebody to death in Houston or New York or L.A., you know, on video camera. And they don't get in trouble. And the public sees this, and so it makes the public hate all police. And when you've got troops serving 3, 4, 5 tours, they completely lose their minds. And they're coming back and becoming cops, and they're killing their families and other cops, and going postal every day. And statistically, it's the cops' families and other cops that have got to worry. So, hey, just enjoy yourselves, okay? Enjoy yourselves, I understand. You think you're going to get away with it? Well, you are going to get away with it. You are going to get away with everything you do. You've got the power, and I mean that, until everything collapses. You see, because there's bigger thugs above you who are conscious thugs and criminals, and they are getting away with stealing the $5 trillion in the last 5 weeks. And they're going to take a lot more, and you're going to pay the taxes for that, and your family is, and you're going to pay in your dollar being devalued, and you're going to pay when this whole economy completely collapses. So just for keep smiling, keep smiling, keep smiling. Keep laughing and joking and giggling and making excuses, all of you. The yuppies, the government bureaucrats, the CPS workers. Just keep laughing. Just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So that is some of the news. I have some audio clips I want to play today as well. Endgame 1.5 is, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes long or something. You know, that's the extra that was too big to put on the DVD. There's 40-something minutes of extras on Endgame itself, so it's over 3 hours. The film's 2.5 hours, and you got 40-something minutes of extras on the Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement DVD. I mean, this is the master plan for you and your family, for the world. You just might want to get the DVD to have that in your collection. But if you can't afford it, it's free on Google Video, free on YouTube. You might take the time out to go watch it and share it with others before it's too late. But I would have the DVD to show it in high quality. I would give it as a Christmas present this year. And it's got a nice fancy cover, nice text on the back, reads like a, you know, a sci-fi thriller, but it's real. And say, hey, check this out. It's wild. It's cutting edge. It's trendy. Jessica Simpson's in it. I'm being sarcastic. I digress. Endgame 1.5 that we posted for PrisonPlanet.tv members needs to be downloaded in high quality and burned to disk. You can do that as part of your membership. We hope you do. By the way, it's 5 months free right now at PrisonPlanet. Fox.tv until December 25th. So you can, my gift to you is, we've turned up the IP address system where it'll take, what is it, six now? Before it was three IP addresses because we didn't want to bog down the servers. Our mission is to get the word out and get it out in high quality so your membership provides the CDN, content distribution network, powerful servers. But in the past, we had, you know, systems where if everybody shared their IP address, it would bog down when it was just on basic servers. We had like two servers. Now we have, you know, hundreds of times that amount of bandwidth. And so now we've turned up the IP address to six. So I want you to share your passcode. I mean, just create a nice username and passcode and give it, you know, in a card or in an email. But a card's always nice to say, hey, there's hundreds of alternative movies and documents and info and, you know, information about the stock market, information about, you know, how to invest. There's a lot of people who are in business, well, oh, they'll value that. You want to plant a hook so they don't not watch it and then say, you know, here's a card, nice Christmas card or holiday card, and inside of it is prisonplanet.tv address and their username and passcode and say, check it out, use it. And that's a very good way. So really, you're giving yourself a prisonplanet.tv membership. That's my present to you. It's a present to me, too, because I want to get the word out and stop these murdering criminals. And then give that same passcode to three or four members of your family. And for $5.95, you've given them a month membership or get a year and get 5 months free. Give them a more substantive gift. But prisonplanet.tv. All right, I'm going to get back into the news. And the Chinese set to take over our auto industry.
The union's a big businessman, and they're going out like a dinosaur. Why they used to grow food in Kansas, then they want to grow it on the moon and eat it raw. I can see the day coming when even your home gardener's gonna be against the law. This world is ruled by violence, but I guess that's better left unsaid. From Broadway to the Milky Way, that's a lot of territory indeed.
And a man's gonna do what a man's gotta do.
And a man's gonna do what he has to do when he's got a hungry mouth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Mars and Robert Groden coming up in the next hour. We'll have open phones after that, and Daryl Runda's popping back in again in the last 30 minutes of the show today. Talk about solutions and getting active on the streets. Got the In the Fed folks on tomorrow. It is the 45th anniversary of the shadow government really taking over fully and saying, hey, President, you don't run jank squat, bang, you're dead. All right, I went over a lot of the news that is grazed over it, but I'm going to get into more detail now. It's a big deal to have the worst consumer confidence and the worst price drop on record. I mean, every record's being broken. You see, in the last year of World War II, millions of men were out of the country. Millions and millions more men and women were in the factories. There was rationing. People could barely afford milk and sugar and butter. It was all rationed. No new cars were being made except for the military. The economy was on hold other than the war effort. And that's the last time a Christmas was this dead. The sales, they're dead. I mean, I can tell you this. In the last year, we've seen video and book sales go down massively to what they were, you know, 5 years ago. You know, it's gone all the way back to when this was a much smaller operation. And I thought that was bad at Infowars.com and, you know, the online video and bookstore. But then, in the last month or two, it's even dropped below that. And I'd say it's about half of what we were selling just 3 months ago. Normally in the late summer, early fall, that's a dead time. That was bumper crop for us, and, you know, we need the money to operate. We actually have 15 people working for me now. 15 people. That doesn't sound like a lot for some, but that is a lot for me. That's a big nut to crack. And, you know, it's all about the mission. But, I mean, we're doing fine because we have PrisonPlanet.tv, we have advertisers, we have a lot of things we're doing. The point is that this is really going to start compounding. And imagine what it's like in other areas of the economy, other businesses, other systems. Media is hard hit, radio, TV, newspapers. Shutdowns, just things closing their doors. Newspapers are trying to sell out right now. The Austin American Statesman, been up for sale for a year, can't find a buyer. And it's not just the internet overtaking it, it's all being compounded by the economy. So a lot is happening, and into this gap comes the Chinese government that backed and funded and controls SAIC and Dongfeng, the two big companies, said to buy GM Chrysler assets. This is all over the largest Chinese newspapers, government newspapers. Under the sway of the global financial crisis, shouldn't use their term, the globalist criminal consolidation by design, the economic warfare of the elite. So under the sway of the global financial crisis, the globalist economic warfare, the U.S. auto giants General Motors, Chrysler, LLC are tottering on the brink of collapse. Japan's Toyota Motor was previously rumored to buy them out, but now Chinese carmakers SIC and Dongfeng are also said to have plans to acquire the two U.S. auto companies, reports the 21st Century Business Herald today. On November 15th, a senior official in China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology and state regulator of China's auto industry told reporters that the auto manufacturer giants in China, such as Shanghai Automotive Industry Corporation, or SAIC, and Dongfeng Motor Corporation, have the capability and innovation to buy the assets of the two crisis-plagued American automakers. Let's break down what's really happening here and what this is a larger part of when we get back. Then, Henry Paulson, he was the one threatening martial law, according to Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma. The Chinese automakers, and don't think any of this is by accident. This is all happening right now. See, the big foreign banks that leveraged the dollar, that devalued the dollar while they bought real assets, that created 1.5 or 1,500 trillion or 1.5 quadrillion dollars in fiat, they went over and dumped hundreds of billions into Chinese automakers, hundreds of billions into third world countries all over the world to leverage out the United States. It's a long-term strategic plan. They handed over old military bases to the Chinese. They handed over old U.S. bases and British bases and French bases in Africa to the Chinese. In Latin America, the Panama Canal in 2000. The Long Beach port. The L.A. port. The Boston ports. Just all of it. Just everything. Then 20-something ports they were going to hand over to the UAE. People got upset about it, so they had a holding company do it, and UAE now runs it all. The 83 interstate highways being handed over to foreign consortiums in Germany, in Spain, in Australia. That's globalism, making sure you're totally controlled by outside systems, outside corporations. and they have to get you in debt and destroy the economy so they can buy it up at fire sale prices. And if you don't like it, militarized police have been trained to eat their own guts and ask for seconds, who are destroying their own futures while they go along with the system, squeezing and taxing and the bureaucrats and the all the new assessments and taxes and property taxes, all of that money that's put into the CAFRs, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, 60%+ of the money put in there, all of that money is taken offshore. And then it comes right back. But that's not enough. Americans then have to buy the cheap Chinese stuff or the Japanese because it's better. In that case, you know, they have to. You know, early on, they could have demanded quality, but they didn't. And American companies, again, strategically by design, were already moving overseas. So why make something good? And so now all those VCRs, all those DVD players, all those video games, all those baubles and ice chest and clothes that you bought from China or Indonesia or Mexico, that's all coming back here to buy factories and roads and infrastructure and mines and timber. And you read in the LA Times that not only are the big two Chinese automakers basically government-controlled, they're going to the government saying, hey, cut the gas tax so we can sell more cars and give us big tax breaks and tax incentives and government money to build more factories here in China and over in the United States to buy them out. You know what the government's saying? Absolutely. You want 500 and something bill? Go buy them up. We want factories. We want infrastructure. We want Ford and GM. We want Chrysler. Chinese car makers also seek government aid. Reporting from Shanghai, America's big three aren't the only car makers turning to government with a hat in hand. Hit by a dramatic slowdown in sales, Chinese auto executives are cutting production, shelving plans to export to the U.S., and all of Detroit looking for Beijing for a little help. Unlike the heads of General Motors Corp, Ford Motor Corp, and Chrysler, who were in Washington this week pleading for $25 billion in aid, it's loans, Chinese automakers generally aren't in dire financial straits. Rather, they're begging for cash on loans, Chinese managers say. They're pushing for policy changes such as lower consumption taxes, pump prices, that might help jumpstart sales. And then it goes on for more money for factories and things like that. So, see, now let me explain something. Do I like Ford and GM? You know, my whole life, well, I didn't buy that many over my life, I guess, but like three cars. I'd even, you know, try to buy used cars that were American, but they constantly break. I mean, you buy a new car, it's broke down in a year. Then I watch my parents driving, and my dad had learned this by the 80s. He always bought Fords and Chevys, and they always broke down, so he started buying Japanese in the same car. You can almost forget to put oil in it, it just keeps running forever. So I buy Japanese now. Because Ford and Chevy and Chrysler, they're already globalist. They're already offshore. They already have the majority of their parts made overseas. But, so to be clear here, it's not like I'm saying don't bail out or do bail out the automakers. It's not like I'm saying it's a great thing to bail them out. What I'm saying is $25 billion in loans to Chrysler and Chevy who are about to go bankrupt. $25 billion, that's two or three B-2 bombers. That's not even one nuclear submarine. That's not even half of an aircraft carrier. What are those things, like $60 billion bucks, $70 billion bucks? They got the new superclass coming out. I mean, the defense contractors just got a $1 trillion-plus dollar on budget, $1 trillion. It's going to be more. It always is with supplementals. $1 trillion-plus defense budget. The previous biggest one was $600 billion. I mean, they're raping us like never before for all the junk and $500 hammers and $800 toilet seats. And that, of course, in the military controls the $500 billion a year in narcotics coming in. They laundered that. It's the Army, mainly, the Navy, and the CIA that launder all that, so that's not enough for them. But, I mean, you guys are all going to have big houses in Maui and, you know, I mean, even your mercenaries and $1 million in the bank, you know, even your minions. But everything's going to collapse around you and you're going to destroy your whole society. But you don't care. You get up and thump your chest and like a gorilla and say, I don't care. We're going to dominate you. Watch this. We're going to ship in the yay-ho and the smack, and your kids are going to use them. We're going to throw them in our prisons. I mean, it is so sick. Meanwhile, we're getting our lunch eaten, and you have destroyed America, and it is being consumed, absorbed by the New World Order, and strip-mined, just being looted, gang-raped, just like 150 years ago, the 10 European powers with the U.S. went in and divided and raped China. Go read about it. What comes around, goes around. And there's all these well-meaning fools that salute the flag and wear their uniform and cry about the government and put their hand to their chest. That doesn't exist anymore, Baba. And so you say, I don't want to hear that, Alex Jones. He puts down America. No, I tried to save America. But as long as they stick an American flag on tyranny, you will salute it and do whatever it says. See, they just can't believe it's all true. They're the schmucks, the suckers, the chumps. They love being conned. They love the sappy propaganda. They love the delusion. Okay, well, you and your family are going to get hurt real bad, and it isn't by me that you've been taught to hate so much and been taught to fear the Patriot movement. It's by your masters. You're sitting in their lap, but it ain't your mommy or your daddy. It's a big, mean creature, and it likes blood of societies. Chinese car makers also seek government aid. So they're coming in and buying things up. I'm going to go to your calls. I'm going to go to your calls, and then I'm going to get into Paulson coming out and you know, saying, hey, we're going to have martial law if you don't do this. That's now confirmed by Senator Inhofe. Paulson was behind a bailout martial law threat. But just in closing on the cars, it is a national security issue. But you see, national security is only used to destroy America, destroy the family, tax the middle class chumps out of existence. It's only used to put sodium fluoride in the water and force vaccines on kids to give them autism. It's only used to ram through GMO crops that kill most of the rats and guinea pigs it's fed to and are killing us right now. It's only used to carry out the narcotics trafficking, the government-controlled narcotics trafficking. It's only there to protect their criminal activity. Imagine, since 47, tens of trillions of dollars in secret operations, powerful men doing whatever they want with total anonymity and total power. Gee, are you surprised we're going into total corruption? Total looting. Because they can. This is the final fruit of that. But if we had real national security, we'd say, you know what, we're not going to buy five B-2 bombers for $100 billion plus. We're going to give $100 billion to the automakers. Or we're going to give $100 billion to two new startup companies for whoever will sign the contracts and do the deals to build it. Now, obviously, that's not free market. Okay, but we don't have a free market. I mean, if they're going to give $5 trillion in 5 weeks to the bankers to go invest it in China, and by the way, Kurt Nemo just sent me an article he just posted, Bank of America buys stake in China construction. You see, that's in the news. I see it every day, just buried. You understand, they're taking the $5 trillion, and they're not just leveraging and buying other healthy banks and insurance companies in the U.S. They're buying not just the roads and the ports. They are taking your money and sending it to China to come back and buy Ford and Chevy and Chrysler. Bank of America buys stake in China construction. Right there. It's happening everywhere. They are taking the $5 trillion and cornering the world market. They depress the economy. They blow out the economy. They badmouth it. They say we're going to have a depression. The government destroys confidence. They knew when they said all that would destroy confidence. the economy dies. Everybody gets scared and stops buying. The economy's basically a zombie right now. The blood ain't flowing. And then they come in and buy it all up. I mean, it's so simple. So it's a national security issue. And because it is a real national security issue, they're not going to save them. The government isn't the government. It's a giant garbage disposal chopping the country up. You understand? So go ahead and watch your SWAT team cop shows, cops, and feel powerful. And go ahead, FBI, feel powerful and train to confiscate our guns. And go ahead and just do everything you're doing, because it's all going to collapse. You're not going to have jobs. When they're done with this, we're going to be a giant third world cesspool. And the cops are going to be in giant gunfights with criminal gangs. Because once societies go banana republic, like Argentina's already done, or Brazil, or Mexico, once it happens, the gangs don't respect you anymore. They're going to move in and take over. And the cops are going to hide out in their police stations. I mean, there have been days in Brazil where 100 and something cops get killed. There's days in Mexico where 20 or 30 get killed. You have destroyed yourselves. You have destroyed your country. So go ahead, pull over somebody. Are they smart mouth you? Beat them up. Knock their teeth out. And you won't get in trouble, because tyranny rules. But remember, the bankers aren't going to get in trouble taking everything you got. You just remember that, too. That's how evil works. It races through a country like cancer. Okay, let's go to some calls. All right, the caller from Pennsylvania, Martiros, hung up. So we'll go to David in Texas here on the air. Go ahead, David. Come ahead, David. I don't understand why the callers never come to the line. It's weird. All right, David, thanks for the call. Garrett in Mississippi, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good.
Well, you're right about that, the blood fixing the flow. And I wrote up something this morning for my friends about Christmas shopping. And they should think outside the box for purchasing Christmas gifts this year. And I, for one, am going to go through your store and get a water filter for my in-laws. Just things like that, you know. A multi-tool. Some rugged outdoor clothing, like some Carhartts or something like that. But
besides, you're going to use that. You never use all the other junk people give you.
Yeah. I've asked just for, you know, things of this sort that I need to fill my gaps. But I also wanted to give you a gun show report. I was in Jackson, Mississippi this past weekend at the show, and it was a madhouse. It took 30 minutes just to get in. The firearms that are slated to be banned very soon were running $200 to $300 above what they cost 5 weeks ago when the last show came through.
AR-15s, M1s,
yes,
Grands, everything semi-auto.
Everything was $200 to $300 or more than what it should have been. So I'll caution people, this is some tips I give for Christmas shopping. You know, go to the internet and save some gas. A lot of the stuff is free shipping. Don't buy gift cards, because I've got a story circulating today. I don't know if it's absolutely true or not, but it makes sense. If these companies go bankrupt or shut their stores down, how are you going to use gift cards?
No, that's already happening everywhere, like Lennon's and things. I saw a report about, you know, they're closing all their stores. I mean, it's hundreds of chains are going under or vastly reducing stock. Mm. And again, this was all publicly done when the president and Obama during the campaign and the Treasury Secretary and the Fed chairman all said we're going to have a depression. That was it. They killed us right there.
Yeah, and another thing, too, what I'm doing is there's some things that, I mean, when you're into the Patriot Movement or preparedness, it never ends. And that's what scares a lot of people away. It's a lot of investment, but it's backed by an insurance for your future security. There's calculators out on the web where you can calculate your tax refund, that little bit the government dribbles back to you. And if you have a credit card, if you still have credit, use it to get what you need now. And then, you know, use your tax refund in February to pay off those debts.
Well, I was about to say, I hate to tell people to go out and max out credit cards.
I've hated that through that too, but guess what? There's not going to be any bill collectors when this comes around.
Well, there's a good chance that could be the case, but the bottom line is they're going to come after the little guys for debts, but the big guys can do whatever they want. I mean, if you're going to steal, folks, the moral is shoot for the moon.
Yeah, well, I just encourage everybody, Alex, to get prepared. This is end game time, you know, referencing your movie that you put out.
What are locals in your area, Garrett, of Mississippi, saying? Are they starting to wake up?
Oh, yeah. When I started working at this major company 3 years ago tomorrow, people thought, well, I was nuts when I started telling them about, you know, 9/11 Road to Tyranny and different things like that. You know, this guy's a head case. Now, you know, I've kind of moved up in the office society, and I have an office. And people come in and shut the door and ask what they need to do, you know.
Yep, because you told them beforehand. Great to hear from you. We're out of time. More calls straight ahead. David, Bob, Robert, Bruce, stay with us. Bruce disagrees with me. We'll go to him first. Stay with me.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
I've gotten a few phone calls and seen a few emails of people saying, why is your radio show running taser commercials? Tasers are evil. Well, number one, FortressTactical.com is not my sponsor. I wish they were. It's a Genesis sponsor. You've got the wrong show. You're confused. I don't blame a taser. I don't blame a 357 Magnum. I don't blame a samurai sword for murder or mayhem or crime. I'm not against the police having tasers, but they should only use them when they truly are under threat. And it should be, you know, when somebody takes a swing at you, you know, where you don't, in that threat continuum, want to shoot them. Or when somebody's attacking somebody, it won't get off of them. And then you taser them one time. But instead, the cops are mentally ill, at least the ones we see on video, where they taser some guy on the ground for an hour. I mean, I've seen videos where they just taser the guy for no reason. He's on the ground. They keep tasering him. That's in Road to Tyranny. Then they let the dog bite him. All those cops should have gone to prison. The guy never did anything. They got out. They tasered him because they got buck fever. They want to shoot something. They want to. So it allows cops that are trigger happy who want to kill people to go ahead and do something less lethal. But it'll kill you. It's killed over 400 people now. So I'm against the misuse of it. I am absolutely for citizens having tasers. In fact, I've thought about, I don't want my wife carrying a gun around her purse because I got little kids, and then they've been taught not to be around guns, and they're locked up. But kids come over to the house, and I just, you know, I want to keep them out of reach. But what about a taser? I know she's got, you know, some pepper spray in her car. And we don't live in a fear, so we don't, you know, really keep that stuff on us. We should. You know, we should be living in some fear. Fear's meant to make you take action. You know, like you're leaning over a cliff. Hey, get back. But just to be clear, I think everybody needs a taser. We need more weapons. The citizens do. So, this isn't a gun control show, folks. We believe in self-defense. And if somebody takes a swing at a cop, it's better than them gunning them down. Better for them to take a billy club to them or taser them, and not just be such cowards where they pull the gun and shoot them, you know, because the person pulls away from them. I've seen videos of the person pulls their arm out of a cop's grasp, and so the cop shoots them. That's horrible. Taser them. That's what that is for, but it's being misused. Okay, Bruce in Connecticut disagrees on auto industry. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing, Alex?
Good.
Yeah, this is with respect to the auto industry comment. I agree that cars are designed to have engineered obsolescence. I mean, but I think that's across the board, you know, because I've seen a lot of problems with foreign or domestic. You know, it's just
Japanese are not as good as they were 10 years ago in my experience and mechanics I talked to. And as soon as Ford and GM and Chevy go out, Ford, GM, Chevy, and of course Chrysler, Ford and GM, the same. I mean, GM and Chevy, same thing. Then, of course, the Japanese will become crud. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I've had Fords now since later '90s, and I never really had a problem with them. You know, they run good. I get over 100,000 miles, and I'm getting a lot of mileage for the dollar.
Well, my friend, I'm glad that that's been your experience. It's not been my experience.
That's sorry to hear that. And I agree with you on the other comment about self-defense. I agree 100%. It's just too bad that the police don't use the discretion like they used to, you know?
Well, cops were more macho, and they were never perfect. I mean, it's, you know, the industry itself has always had problems for thousands of years by its very nature, because power corrupts absolutely, power corrupts absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, cops were too macho to, you know, wet themselves and shoot somebody because they, you know, made a fist at them. Now, I mean, I see cops pulling old ladies over, and it's like they're shaking, walking to the car. It's just, the wicked fleeth when none pursueth. And the cops ought to be scared of those cars flying past them. Statistically, that's what they really should be afraid of. But see, nobody tells them to be afraid of that, so they're not. All right, we'll come back, take more calls, and get our guest on.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got two of the leading JFK researchers with the 45th anniversary coming up this weekend. Joining us in the next hour, then continual open phones and all this other important world news, like Senator Inhofe identifying who threatened the Congress with martial law 5 weeks ago to pass the bailout. Now almost 6 weeks ago. Right now, let's go to Sun in Chicago, a first-time caller. Go ahead, Sun.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good, other than watching my country be consolidated by a bunch of crooks.
Alex, I apologize. This doesn't necessarily have to do with anything in particular.
There's no topic.
Okay. I am a new listener. I've just started listening to you in the last 2-3 weeks. And, well, I'm sort of coming out of the grieving process, if you will, in terms of, I guess, realizing a lot of the things that, as everybody else has been told, and am finding out that much of it is false. It sort of gives you a sense of, you know, not being attached to something. But having said that, there's an awful lot of information that you guys have been sharing with us, and having said that, I've started talking with other people, but naturally there seems to be some, you know, obvious resistance. And I guess what I'm trying to find out is there a site or a resource where a person or a group, you know, regional places where, you know, people can meet, or communities where they can talk and interact and, you know, share ideas and so on?
You've always got to, you know, beware, and by that, just be dubious. You know, don't be trusting, because of the nature of the web, but you can find great people. There are the Ron Paul meetups around the country.
Okay.
There are a lot of other organizations. They're going to have the In the Fed group going out and protesting the Fed coming up. That's going to be in Chicago. As well, where you live, and 38 other locations, or 37 other locations around the country. There are 9/11 truth groups in every major city. There are, you know, all sorts of organizations and groups where you can meet like-minded people, and then go to a group setting and find out, you know, who you'd like to work with, or who you'd like to be involved with. It's kind of like looking for a church. I mean, you've got to go and check them out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear from you, son. Appreciate it. Dave in Wisconsin. You're on the air, David.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Okay. Is it true when I looked on the internet that oil is $50 a barrel now?
Yeah, I think it's below 50.
Yeah, it dipped below. Lindsay Williams is reliable, obviously.
Well, he really did work for Atlantic Richfield.
And well, yeah, I'm old enough where I read that book in the 70s, and it's so weird how what goes around comes around again. You weren't even alive or whatever, and I now you're talking about that and everything, and I just wanted to tell you that now is the time for everybody to just go out to their neighbors and their family and stuff and say the things that they've learned from you and others, and they'll be credible because it's all coming true, and their credibility is going to go sky high right now. Now is the time to go public.
I agree.
And then there's one more thing, just for you personally. It's to stay pure, you know, and be in the power of God like you are. You know, there's other Christians that talk a bunch of nonsense, you know, but like we're not supposed to stand up for human rights and the things that you do, but stay pure and the power will flow. The evil guys, the Luciferians and all that, they're, yes, we're going to reap something that they sowed, but we're going to stand. And if, isn't it better to die than to stand up or live in that controlled world?
Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. God bless you, my friend.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've had both Jim Mars and Robert Brodin on separately, but never had them on together. So for this hour and a little bit of the next, I thought we'd have them on together. Kind of like we had Professor David Ray Griffin and Professor Stephen Jones on together yesterday. And we will continue with your phone calls on a host of issues because both of these men can speak to them. But it is the 45th anniversary of the shadow government, the COG, killing Robert F. Kennedy in Dealey Plaza. That's coming up in just a few days. And Robert Grodin and Jim Mars will both be there. Jim has a cold, but he's still doing the show today, and he's having a bad connection on his phone line, so we're bringing him up here in just a few minutes. But so much is happening for the 45th anniversary. There's all these different hit pieces on Discovery Channel, History Channel, coming out that are really becoming comical. Robert Grodin and Jim Mars, I can't think of two people more prominent than these two men when it comes to the JFK investigation movement. People that have brought forward more information, done more research, and investigated as long, been intimately involved with the case itself than Robert Grodin and Jim Mars. I mean, Robert Grodin brought out the Zapruder film and a bunch of other key information. The list goes on and on. So bringing up Robert Grodin, I look forward to seeing him up there this weekend at the Grassy Knoll, and we're going to stay over Monday and interview him there, so it'll be a rebroadcast on Monday for the JFK film we're making. Mr. Grodin, good to have you on with us.
Great to be on, Alex. Thank you.
Did you have a good experience last time you were on? Have a big response?
Absolutely. You have a good listenership, and they're open-minded, and they understand. It's excellent.
I meant to ask you this when we first got you online, but I didn't have a chance to talk to you. Did you see the Inside the Shooter Car program put out by this Erickson fellow?
What a total phony that whole show was. I was actually there in the plaza when they were filming it, and they were making so many mistakes. I went up to them, and I told them, I pointed out, showed them the photographs that they had the angles and positions all wrong. They wouldn't listen to me. They said, oh, it's not important. It doesn't matter. Of course it matters.
Well, with forensics. That's what jumped out at me, is they said that if they would have fired from the Knoll, it would have gone through Kennedy's head on the side and hit Jackie, but the Knoll was firing diagonally more from the front. I mean, they were way off there. Also, they acted like all the Secret Service testimony about the car, which they grabbed, hid, you know, tore out, refurbished, acted completely guilty. So all that's based on fraud. So I specifically, because you're one of the leading experts on this, and we're going to talk to Mars in a moment, since you've seen the program, I refuse to be interviewed by him, by the way, for a 9/11 truth film he's making, because what his specialty is doing quack scientific reenactments to try to flim-flam the public kind of along the CSI line. But there were hundreds of comments within minutes of the show ending on the Discovery Channel website, and literally 97% of them, it was over 100 comments I saw, and three of them were agreeing with the show. People were like, this is so one-sided. You know, I never, you know, really thought that it was more than a lone gunman, but now I do. You're covering up. I mean, it was so obvious. So Robert Grodin, break down Inside the Shooter Car.
the whole thing was a fraud to begin with, but you just mentioned about Jackie would have been hit, you know, based on what they showed. First of all, they had the bullet hit nearly 4 inches too far to the front from where it actually did hit, number one. They had the president's head angled about 30 degrees too far, if you were looking at it from the top, from up above.
Yeah, it was leaning over. It was leaning way forward.
Yeah, it was way too far forward, but it was also, they also had Jackie sitting too far back, the actress playing Jackie. They had everything wrong. Nothing was right. But then again, considering they've done three other shows in the past that were even just as dishonest as this, perhaps even more so, it's not surprising.
Well, go over the car, because, I mean, they ran off and refurbished that and hid that. There were reports of bullet holes all over it, the windshield.
Right, absolutely. There's, you know, the one thing that they said, one line that they used in the show is, a shot would have had to go through the windshield, and we know that didn't happen. Well, we don't know that it didn't happen. There's a half a dozen witnesses that said it did happen. One person actually stuck a pencil through the hole itself. So there's just lots of problems with it, grossly dishonest, and this is basically an Empire Strikes Back type situation. It's the government, through these idiots, trying to convince us of another lie.
Well, let's go over the car. I mean, what they did with the president's limousine.
Well, yeah, as soon as the car was at Parkland Hospital, the Secret Service gave orders to swab out the car. They got a bucket, they got sponges, and they were cleaning out the car, destroying the crime scene.
And they even admit that on the TV show.
Yeah, but it didn't seem to bother them. You know, they take the testimony of two witnesses that saw some of the evidence, but not all of it, and they only deal with the stuff that makes them happy. It's exactly what the Warren Commission did.
Well, the whole way they took the Chrysler back to the factory, the way they refurbished it in a week, the way they were so secretive about that, I mean, right there is the guilt. Going to Jim Mars, Jim, when I called you Sunday night with my mouth hanging open halfway through the TV show, I said, are you watching this? You said, no, I'm taping and I'm watching the Cowboys get their butt kicked. Have you had a chance to see inside the shooter car produced by Laurel and Hardy?
Yes, I have, and it's just as bad as I thought it was going to be, and that's why I didn't even bother to watch it, because I have, through my own personal experience, having co-produced a program for Discovery and having dealt with several producers who have tried to sell programs to Discovery. I hate to say this, but there's so many people who think that if it's on the Discovery Channel, it must be right, and yet I'm here to tell you, when it comes to Kennedy assassination, when it comes to UFOs, when it comes to other strange things, the Discovery Channel will not run the truth. Their attitude is, for example, on UFOs, we'll buy a program from you if you ridicule people who see UFOs. Kennedy assassination, we'll buy a program from you if you'll support the Warren Commission. That's basically their attitude. And this show was just, well, it's so ludicrous. It's and as Robert has said, nothing they did was correct. But the main thing is, and without getting into technicalities, they said they built this wooden frame and put some seats in it and said, this represents the car. And they said, we got these dummies and we've got this jello for brains, and we're going to take a shot and we're going to see if this doesn't prove Oswald did it. And they said, everything is exactly the way it was in November of 1963.
They say this is conclusive.
Except we're going to use a modern telescopic sight for accuracy. Well, that blows the whole thing. Oswald didn't have a telescopic sight for accuracy. He had a cheap 12-point sight, and he was not shooting at a stationary target. He was shooting at a target moving laterally downhill away from him with a tree intervening in the line of sight, and yet we're told he hit twice out of three shots within 6 seconds. It's just ludicrous.
Well, Jim, and they also kept saying, we have conclusively proven it was Oswald from the school book depository building. He did it. We have proven it. It's incredible. This is the greatest discovery ever. We're geniuses.
And they didn't prove anything.
Well, they keep talking about their sharpshooter. Absolutely. Why couldn't he make the shot with the piece of junk, five-and-dime scope?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Their shooter was shooting from a crane, you know, that was pushed him up there approximately six floors. He had all the time in the world to take his shot. I'm sure they probably did it several times. His rifle is braced, and he's using a modern, accurate scope, and he's shooting at a stationary target. Hey, I could make that shot, okay? But the point is that just because they can set up everything and take all day to do it and make a shot that hits the side of the dummy's head, what does that prove? That just proves they could do that. It doesn't mean Oswald made two hits out of three shots in 6 seconds.
What about Robert Groden just brought up? And I mean, I'm no master pooball like you guys that know every inch of this thing and study it continually. But I mean, I've been at the knoll many times, and I knew that that the grassy knoll shot was coming, you know, more from the front than it was from the side. But they say in the show the guy was basically straight on at the side and then would have blown Jackie's head off. I mean, that is just ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous, and it does not even match the known medical evidence, which was apparently, and by all of the best evidence, Kennedy was struck in the right temple area in the hairline as he was leaning to the left with his chin down, which then took out the right rear portion of his head. Every doctor at Parkland said he had a huge gaping exit wound right rear portion of his head.
Robert Groden, his new book, and I think he should put it out even quicker. I've seen the photos, folks. You know, Groden gets out with the subruder. He gets out with these. He's got the sources. I mean, the whole back side of his head's blown off, and it's clearly he's been shot in the front of the head, Robert.
Oh, absolutely. Shot from the front, no question about it. But one thing I've got to say, and everyone seems to be walking on eggshells with this one here, and I'll mention it. I know that you would. I know you'd have no objection to this. The man producers picked as their so-called expert on the assassination was Gary Mack, the archivist of the sixth floor.
All right, stay there. We've got a break, Robert. We'll hear about this when we get back on the other side of this quick break. Stay with us. And then we'll also ask the question, they wouldn't even show the Subruder film. They showed computer simulations. Why did they do that? Robert Groden, Jim Mars, the two Twin Peaks of the JFK investigation movement. Both of these men have tirelessly contributed to exposing the inside job of the assassination. Okay, Robert, you got interrupted by the break there. You were talking about who they use as their expert in this film. Please continue.
Yes, they used Gary Mack, who is the archivist for the Sixth Floor Museum, and the Sixth Floor Museum is in all probability the strongest mouthpiece for the Warren Commission that exists in the world today. It's unbelievable. Here's a man who has done nothing in the history of the case to try to solve it. He used to be a great spokesman on our side until they offered him the job there, and then he sold out to the other side. It's very, very sad. I was there, for crying out loud. I was showing them that they were wrong, and they absolutely ignored me. They knew who I was. There's no question about that. They admitted it.
Now, weren't you offered the job at the book building, too?
I was actually offered a higher job than he has. He's the archivist. I was offered the job as director. But they made it very, very clear to me that I would have to sell out, and I could not talk about the conspiracy.
And, folks, that's when you know this is real. I have been approached many times. I mean, this is real, folks. Please continue.
Well, that's it. I just absolutely refused to do it. My integrity meant more to me than the money that they offered me, which at the time, I believe, if I remember correctly, was $180,000 a year.
Unbelievable. When did they offer you that?
Oh, gosh, that was about 20 years ago.
Jim, your take on all of this and on this individual.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. I'm looking at a copy of a publication called Cover-Ups, October 1982, and the editor and publisher is Gary Mack, the same Gary Mack who was on the program Sunday night and who is now a curator at the 6-4 Museum. And on the front page of Cover-Ups, edited and published by Gary Mack, we have a picture of what has become known as the Badge Man. And this is a figure firing a rifle or some weapon that is taken from the Mary Mormon photograph, and which he published right here on the cover of Cover-Ups. And the figure is to the north of the southwest corner of the picket fence on the grassy knoll. And this was his own publication. Now, on the Sunday night's program, he takes us far to the west of the corner of the fence, the totally opposite direction of where this Badge Man photographs is, and makes a big deal out of saying, there's nothing here, folks. We've checked, and there was no shot from the grassy knoll.
Well, let me just say this.
Gary forgotten that it was his own work and his own story that points out the Badge Man, who's in the opposite direction of what he pointed out Sunday night?
Absolutely. I mean, just watching his body language, they all had guilty smiles on their faces, Cheshire Cat smiles. It just oozed. And that's why the people commenting on the Discovery Channel website were throwing up. Great point that Jim makes, Robert.
Well, hey, let me add something here, too, that you probably don't know, Alex, and I'm not even sure if Robert knows this. But the point is that any time you do a study of what happened in Dealey Plaza, you've got to have absolutely 100% accurate data about the topography of Dealey Plaza. You've got to have the distances right. You have to have the elevations right. If it's off even an inch somewhere, then a few feet out, you're going to be off by a mile. You know, it's got to be accurate. So how do we know what the topography and what the numbers are for Dealey Plaza? Well, in May of 1964, the Dallas County surveyor, Robert West, and his associate, Chester Brenneman, were hired by the Warren Commission to do survey work in Dealey Plaza based on every frame from the Zapruder film. And they did their job, and they did all the distances, and they did all the elevations. And both of those men, years ago, told me, and I can verify this because I have a copy of their original plat map, that the Warren Commission altered their numbers. They changed the frame numbers. They changed the numbers. So anybody doing a computer simulation or a reenactment in Dealey Plaza using the numbers from the Warren Commission, it's going to be off. They are not going to be correct, and you can't pay any attention to it.
Robert, comment on that.
Chester Brenneman, the man who was just mentioned by Jim a moment ago, testified that his numbers and his measurements were changed, and he was scared out of his wits because he was afraid that something was going to happen to him if he were to speak out about it. Eventually, he did, and what Jim says is absolutely correct. One thing that is for sure too, that the way they positioned the model in the show the other night was way off. I mean, absolutely way off, both for angle and for position.
Robert, stay there. Long segment coming up. We'll come right back to you to continue along that line of discussion. Right now, we're dissecting this incredibly disgusting piece. Jim Mars and Robert Groden are our guests. If I could twist their arm to stay another 20, 30 minutes. In the next hour, we'll take your calls, but I forgot to ask them during the break, so we'll ask them next break if they want to do that. Robert, start over. You got cut off by the break again with the line that you were discussing about how they'd altered, how the Warren Commission had gone in and changed and altered the surveys that they commissioned.
Well, Jim had brought up the subject, and he's absolutely right. But Chester Brenneman went on record, and actually there are sworn affidavits by him saying how they changed the numbers. They altered the directions. They altered the measurements, which throws everything off. Now, you'd think that say, a quarter of an inch difference in the back of the president's head might not be so much. But it really is, because, as Jim pointed out again, if you when you go backwards, the farther away you get from the target, the greater the distance becomes. Now, when they fired the shots, they fired three shots at the dummy's head on the show. The first one was from the front, and it was a soft-nosed bullet, and it literally ripped the entire head off. That never happens in real life, no matter what. You know, you might have a great deal of damage, but it never blows the entire head completely off.
Because the skin is all bound and connected with tissue to the bone, so it may be like a big pop balloon, but still the head doesn't completely blow off.
Exactly. That was the first one. The second one fired from the front was a Carcano-type bullet, and it entered the head approximately 3.5 to 4 inches too far to the front of the head, at a head that was angled far more to the counterclockwise than it should have been. That's why when it exited from the side instead of the back. The president was hit much farther to the rear of the head, although it came from the front. It hit on the side, and that's the semantics of the whole thing. He wasn't hit in the front. He was hit from the front. The third shot that they fired was from behind. They hit 4 inches too high, and the damage on the prosthetic dummy that they were using was totally dissimilar to the actual autopsy evidence. The autopsy photographs and the description of the Dallas doctors does not match at all what happened to the dummy in their show.
And then
of course, they never bothered to mention that.
And then and I want both of you to comment on this, they wouldn't show the Zapruder film. They would show a computer rendering of it, which in reality, because I went and pulled up the film, was different.
You're absolutely right.
Can you speak to that?
Well, you see, what they claim is that the Zapruder film is too gory and it would offend the sensitivities or sensibilities of the audience. That's absurd. That's absolutely ridiculous. We see more gruesome stuff than that on TV every day and in movies every day. And here we're talking about the single most important piece of evidence that we've got, and they pretend that it's not important enough to show. That's absolutely absurd. They know darn well that when you compare the Zapruder film or the Mormon photograph to their recreation, that they don't match at all.
Jim?
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Number one, we don't even have to trust the statements of Chester Brenneman, and which, by the way, was confirmed to me also by the Dallas County surveyor, Robert West. He also told me that they had altered their numbers. But we don't have to trust their testimony. Chester Brenneman allowed me to make a copy of their original plat map, and all you have to do is compare their graph of numbers with Warren Commission Exhibit 884, and you can tell that they're not the same. They altered it. But here's something else. Also, on their map, they took note of the two yellow marks on the curb. That's a whole interesting thing, which happened to bracket right where the headshot was. And many people, particularly sniper experts, feel like that these two yellow paint marks were distance indicators for shooters to know exactly where the distance was where the headshot was to take place. They also marked the area of a bullet shot on the curb on the south side of Elm Street. They also made a notation that where the first shot struck in the limousine up on Elm Street, they said this area hid behind tree for any shot from the depository as of this date, May 1964. All of these notations were deleted by the Warren Commission when they published their map.
I mean, that's evidence of guilt right there. Is
absolutely
the continual ongoing cover-up at thousands of different points. I mean, it's just one huge saga. But going back to the psychology, and I want to ask both of you this, both Robert Groden and Jim Mars, you know, probably the two most knowledgeable people on the JFK assassination and the ensuing cover-up. Going back to one of your former colleagues, how did they get him to join the dark side? I mean, Robert was talking about Empire Strikes Back. It's like this guy was Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader.
Show him the money. I don't know what made him sell out, but he did. I mean, here's a guy who literally has done nothing on his own on this case. He carried a message from one researcher to the House Assassinations Committee. He took credit for the work of two other people. You know, he claims to have discovered the badge man that that Jim just mentioned before. In fact, it was President Carter's sister, Ruth Stapleton, who found the badge man initially, and that was in Denver. I was there when she did it.
Well, he's one of the top guys now at the little brainwashing museum where they teach the official story there and bring the school kids through every day, and the college students and the police and the rest of them, in the police academy. And then, Robert, you're out there, rain or shine, generally, on the grassy knoll. When you run into him, what do you say to him over the years?
We rarely do run into each other. When we do, I guess we're as courteous as we can be. But that's changing very rapidly because the Sixth Floor has done everything that they can through the years to try to get people on the other side of the issue out of Dealey Plaza. I mean, I've been arrested. I've been thrown in jail. I've been ticketed 80 times. Harassed over 400 times. One time they even sent in Homeland Security with machine guns to try to get rid of me. And, it hasn't worked, and they haven't stopped trying.
Can you imagine what the Founding Fathers would say if they could see all of this? This country, I mean, look how guilty they act. And, of course, you're a major researcher. You and Jim were the big advisors, and, of course, yourself there on the ground for the JFK film, and you've written all these books, and you're the guy that brought up the Zapruder film and all of this. But, nope, the cops are, sorry, we're just going to arrest you. Anybody else can stand out here saying what they want, but you, Robert Groden, you can't. Jim Mars, have you ever been harassed out there?
No, I can't say that I have. Of course, I don't go and hang around Dealey Plaza much myself. I did that enough years and years ago. In fact, I have a photograph that I took from the sixth floor window before they built the sixth floor up there. If you go to the sixth floor museum, you'll notice that they claim that we're not trying to make any statement here. We don't take a position on what happened to Kennedy, but they have plexiglassed off that whole corner there and put boxes up and left the window a little bit open, and they set the whole sniper's nest stage there as if to say, well, here's where it happened, folks, and here's what it was. But, of course, nobody from the public, in fact, they wouldn't even let Oliver Stone go up and film from the sixth floor window, because when you stand in that window and you look down to the street, you realize that there's a tree blocking the line of sight. You can't see what's going on. But let me tell you one story.
Well, let me just throw something in real fast. Back 20-something years ago, that's what woke up Colonel Craig Roberts. As a sniper, best-selling author on the subject, and a SWAT
right.
team guy, he went and looked in the window and was like, that's ridiculous. You couldn't make that shot in 6 seconds. You couldn't shoot three times. You couldn't shoot through that tree. And that happened to thousands of shooters, police, military, who sat there. But please continue.
Well, I don't know of any firearms expert, an expert in sniping, who buys the idea that Oswald was able to squeeze off three shots in 6 seconds with this really bad Italian war rifle that had a misaligned scope. People don't pay any attention to that either. Ronald Simmons of the Army's Ballistic Test Center told the Warren Commission they had to put three metal shims under the scope of the Oswald rifle just to make it accurate enough to test.
All right, let me stop you right there. That brings up... to both of you, but first, Robert, the Dallas Morning News a month ago came out and said, evidence, that this isn't the bullet that did it, or we've now had Los Alamos Laboratories come out, and the Army did test, and so we're seeing sectors of the government coming out and overturning what had done previously. What do these new developments mean, and then B, how is this coming from the government of all places?
Well, people like Jim and myself have always realized that the issues of the ballistics evidence were invalid. The way they were testing, the type of testing they were doing, could prove a negative but could never prove a positive. That's the whole point. Yet the Warren Commission claimed that it did, in fact, prove a positive, and it never did. What they dealt with was the makeup of bullet fragments. And of the makeup, they tested for something like 20-odd different pieces of metal, types of metal. The only one of all of them that came even close was antimony. And it wasn't even right on. They said that since one of all of these different elements matched close enough, they said it came from the same bullet. In fact, nothing could be farther from the truth. If they found nothing, they could prove that it did not. But the test itself never proves that it did.
But I would bring this up.
Now the government is finally admitting that.
Sure.
And people that have been convicted on that kind of evidence are now having their cases totally reviewed all over the place.
Well, I was bringing this up to the director of the film, as you said, who specializes in these fraudulent science hit pieces on the JFK researchers. And he would just kind of laugh at me, and he'd giggle, and I'd say, what about bullet fragments? He'd say, oh, there weren't any bullet fragments. And I'd say, but they admit there were, and then he would giggle. And then I said, well, the head's too far forward, and you didn't have it aligned right, and he'd giggle. I mean, I guess it's just kind of funny to these people.
Well, I think, Alex, you're missing the point here. I think the point of a program like this on the Discovery Channel goes back to one of the basic maxims of debate. It's an appeal to authority. Oh, it's on the Discovery Channel. They use scientific methods. It's got to be correct. And, of course, it's not. So, but this programs like this are not designed to convince thinking people, people like you and like Robert and people who know the case. They know that's not going to sway our opinions, what they're hoping to do, and it's the same thing they do with their control over the corporate mass media, which is to put out sound bites and headlines and these special channel programs, hoping to keep the controversy going. They're going to have a whole new generation of Americans who don't know squat about the assassination, and they watch the Discovery program, and they go, oh, well, I guess it is possible that Oswald did it all by himself.
Well, this is
and
definitely
the case continues in controversy, which has been the method of cover-up from the get-go. There's never been a lack of evidence. There's simply been obfuscation. They throw so much crap out there that the average person finally says, oh, man, I don't want to look at this anymore.
No, I understand. That's, they put it into a process of debate and discussion where you're always, well, it's the same thing with the North American Union. It's official government
document. Same thing with 9/11.
Well, but I mean, just briefly fleshing this out, it's in the official documents. They signed it. It's in the Canadian papers. They're merging our militaries. Bush gets up and has press conferences on C-SPAN saying we're already merging with Europe, the Transatlantic Treaty Agreement. But then when they go on our news, they say it doesn't exist, and then we always have a debate about whether it exists or not, instead of having a debate about do we want to be under this North American Union. Robert Grodin.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's propaganda and disinformation, and what they do is they just confuse the average member of the public. But in spite of all that they do, in spite of the power that they have over the press, the control over the press, the disinformation they put out, still 90% of the American people or greater always believe that there was, in fact, a conspiracy. The biggest part of the debate, the biggest part that people are not really sure of for the people out there is whether Lee Oswald was part of this conspiracy or not. But they understand that there was a conspiracy. Even the government admitted it in 1979. When the House Committee, when the House Assassinations Committee wrote their report, the last official word on this, they said that there was a conspiracy. And in fact, that stands to this day. Yet the national news media just avoids it like crazy.
Well, that's what they do. They lie by omission. And you know, that's why I refuse to do the interview. But of course, you offered to be interviewed by me. I mean, you tried to warn them, Robert, and you know, obviously they didn't want to hear from you, as you said earlier. But I guess they thought that. How do you think they were going to come at me? I mean, I'm interested at that.
Well, you know, their concept is to ridicule anyone who tries to tell the truth. I was a witness at the second O.J. Simpson trial. And I testified as to specific photographic evidence, not to whether O.J. was guilty or not. That had nothing to do with it. yet an element of the Sixth Floor Museum constantly brings up, well, Grodin testified for O.J. Simpson. He's got to be crazy. Well, you know, I wasn't paid for it. The Sixth Floor says, oh, Grodin did it for money. He did it for money. I didn't. I never got paid for it. And that wasn't the issue. The issue was that here's a guy who was in the same position that Lee Harvey Oswald appeared to be in. And I thought, well, you know, I've got proof that one particular photograph is a fake. I don't know whether O.J. did it or not. I never testified to that. What I testified to is that they had a phony photograph which was created by the National Enquirer, according to his own lawyers, and paid $18,000 for it, had it done in Europe, and made millions selling their rag.
And then, of course, the cops also got caught with the blood additive in the blood sample, showing that they had planted blood. So, I mean, we're not weighing in for O.J., folks. The guy's obviously out of his mind. The point is, they tried to frame him, and so that's why he ended up getting off. You know, even if you think somebody's guilty, you can't frame them, folks. And so all Grodin did was go and document that was a fake photo.
Right. Well, you're right about the EDTTA and that was in his in the blood samples. There's also blood spatter evidence there, too, which proved to be untrue. Oh, by the way, as far as blood spatter evidence goes, on the show that they used, they were talking about blood spatter,
yes,
which they never actually get a chance to really test. Let me give you a quote. This quote is from a book. It's the textbook on blood spatter.
Stay there. We'll get it after the break with Robert Grodin and Jim Mars. Give you both of them websites, books, videos, all available there. The premier experts on this. 45 years since the shadow government killed JFK. And they are striking back with all manner of flimsy propaganda. That if you know where to look, you find out that it's literally a facade. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
They'll be with us 20 minutes in the next hour to take your phone calls, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Both men, Robert and Jim, Jim first, plug your website, your books, your videos, your materials.
Well, you can go to jimmars.com. That's JIMMARRS.com. I've got a brand new book out right now, just hit, and it's already rising up the charts at Amazon.com, called Above Top Secret. And in there, I tackle 25 of the biggest mysteries, conspiracies going on right now, and including a whole chapter on who killed JFK. Now, if you want to get behind and get to the highest levels of who's behind the Kennedy assassination, you need to read my also recent book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, which I believe is available on Alex Jones' site. And then for those of you listening who have a copy of my book, Crossfire, I am going to the conference in Dallas this weekend, and I'm going to have a number of new subject and name index for Crossfire. And once you have this, you'll be able to move through there. You'll find out things that you either forgot or never knew. For example, there was an attorney who overheard Jack Ruby and Lee Harvey Oswald plotting to kill Governor Connally and reported this to the Texas authorities weeks before the Kennedy assassination. Who knew that? It's all there. It's in Crossfire. And with the new index, you can find everything you want to find.
Absolutely. And folks, do go to Infowars.com and get his Rise of the Fourth Reich book. Because if you want to understand, we're not saying they're German Nazis running America. We're saying those ideas came from England and the United States. That COG form of shadow government, that is his, who is in control today. And that's why they're setting up this fascist system. So please get The Rise of the Fourth Reich at Infowars.com. By the way, it's discounted, and I hope that you will give it to your friends and family this Christmas season, because people need to know this is not a joke or a game, and this book will blow you away. You've also got a lot of great books and videos as well, Robert Grodin, over at your website.
Well, my website is JFKMurder.com. Virtually everything that I've got is on there, that which is still available. But the big thing isn't out yet. The new book is called JFK Absolute Proof. The book itself is finished, but it's not indexed and it's not proofread yet. So it'll be quite some time till it's ready. But when it is, it will be available. Now, my website is a free website. You can go there anytime you want to. There's no charge. And as soon as it's available, it'll be announced on the site.
By the way, again, I've seen some of the stuff that's in it that people haven't. I mean, I hope you got your door locked at night, bud, with the photos you've got.
Hmm. Oh, they're not here, believe me.
I mean, it is unbelievable. My goodness. Jim, I know you've probably seen those photos, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just... Robert, last time you wouldn't answer us, but where... I mean, how do you get all this? How do you get the Subruder? How do you get the other photos and I mean, all the evidence? I guess you just have the sources?
Well, there's absolutely no single point for all of these things. The different things came from different places. And... through the years, when I became known as the photo guy in the Kennedy case because of the my release of the Zapruder film on Goodnight America, people started coming to me. They wanted to see if I could find more stuff in their photographs and their films. And I always did the work for them for free. I never charged them a penny for it. But the deal was that I would have to be able to keep copies and release them when the time was right. And that's what I've done. I've released the films of the assassination, and through these three books, I wrote High Treason. High Treason had 186 photographs in it, but then I did The Killing of a President, which had 600 photographs.
Okay, back in 1 minute. Back in 1 minute with Robert Groden and Jim Marr. Stay with us. Your phone call straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got him with us for another 20 minutes or so. Robert Groden and, of course, Jim Marrs. Top experts in their own fields of the JFK assassination, both of them documentary filmmakers, both of them authors, both of them worked intimately on the JFK film by Oliver Stone. And I do want to start going to the phone calls here in just a few minutes, but where do you see this going? Both men briefly, as 90%+ in every major poll know that there's a cover-up, a conspiracy to kill Kennedy. No amount of shoddy hit pieces are going to convince anybody otherwise. But not just with the JFK assassination. It probably started there. But with everything else now, the people know the government is a private group of criminals looting us. Where do you see this going in the future?
Well, for me...
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, this is Jim Marrs. Unfortunately, I see that the Kennedy assassination is showing us a template for what's going to happen with 9/11. There was a period of time, and Robert knows this too, he lived through it. There was a period of time for 15, maybe 20 years after the assassination when it was not considered socially acceptable to bring that up as a topic in public. We just don't talk about that. And then, you know, new generations came along. They were very inquisitive and curious, and all of a sudden it became okay to talk about it, and all of a sudden all this information that people like Robert and I and others had would begin to stumble out, and now everybody, the polls show that 85-90% of the population now knows, understands, and believes that Kennedy was killed as a result of a conspiracy, but it's still not an accepted thing, although, as Robert pointed out, the last word of the federal government was the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and they said there was probably a conspiracy because there was one, excuse me, somebody shooting at him from the grassy knoll. Now,
well, they said 95% chance. 95.
Yeah, way up there. And today, what we're in that, we're right back into that mode. It's not socially acceptable to speak out publicly about 9/11 in polite company. And so they'll wait 20 years, and then all the information will come out. And in 40 years, we'll all know that 9/11 was an inside job perpetrated by people within the Bush administration. And it'll just be accepted, but it still won't be officially acknowledged by leaders, nor will it be in the history books.
Robert, your comments on what he was just saying?
Well, I pretty much agree with what Jim said. You know, the American people has never been fooled by this, for the most part. I'm in Dealey Plaza hundreds and hundreds of days a year, virtually every day. And I can tell you, without doing an actual count, that approximately 99%, 99-plus percent, don't believe the Warren Commission fairy tale. They just don't buy it. And when they see the plaza itself, they just shake their heads and can't believe that the other side tried to convince us of this incredible lie. But unfortunately, they do seem to control the national news media. They control their broadcast licenses. The head of CBS at the time of the assassination was Bill Paley, one of the founders of the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, what do we expect from him? He gave the order, and nobody would dare challenge him from Walter Cronkite on down. So they just arbitrarily started backing the Warren Commission, and that became what we got to hear. And if you talk to people on the street, if you find somebody who does believe that that the Warren Commission was right, you'll ask them why, they'll quote the Warren Commission. I mean, that's totally convoluted reasoning. There's no basis in fact there. There never was. For crying out loud, the Warren Commission had seven members. Three of those seven members, virtually half of them, did not believe that Oswald acted alone.
All right, Robert, Jim, stay there on the internet at prisonplanet.tv. We're going to talk behind the scenes here in this break about this weekend.
Now, from the...
All right, we're not on the AM and FM right now, but we are on the web, so we are on the air, transmitting, just not broadcasting right now, guys. I've been so busy, you've been so busy, I haven't really conferred with both of you about when we're hooking up. Jim, we're going to meet, I'll see you around, but we're going to meet Sunday, right, and go eat lunch and then do some interviews then, right?
Right. Well, I also arranged with your people, I think. I told them I'd be at the Grassy Knoll about an hour earlier, about 11 o'clock. If you're going to be there, we could talk some then.
Okay, so we'll talk Saturday, too, then.
Right.
Okay, perfect. And maybe I'll tag along to the little convention event you're going to, because I'd like to get some shots of you talking to a crowd. Is that okay?
It's fine with me. If they'll let you in, you may have to pay door admission.
Maybe you can give me their name and number. Who's running that?
This is JFK Lancer.
Okay, well, that shouldn't be a problem. I'll call you this afternoon. Are you going to be there after the show?
Yes.
Okay. Also, Mr. Groden, we're going to get together, Monday morning, right?
Yes. We're due to see each other Saturday in the plaza, and Monday we have an appointment for the filming.
Absolutely. And I guess Sunday you're going to be in the plaza, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm going to be filming some of you interacting with folks, because that's also important. And then I think in the film, I also just want to mention what you brought up about the individual who now runs the school book building there, formerly being one of your colleagues. I think that's really interesting, because they never want to mention that in these TV shows, do they?
Never. Never.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing you both there. I think this is going to be a big year. I mean, it's so far out away from the killing, but also it's, you know, people love 25s, 45s, 55s, 75s. I think there's going to be a lot of folks there.
Well, we can only hope. You know, the people care. I see people in the plaza all year long. And they don't always just wait for the assassination anniversary, but it usually is a lot heavier then.
Do you ever have folks come up and get in your face and call you a traitor?
No, just the opposite. The exact opposite. They think that the government are the traitors.
Well, no, I mean, I understand the majority, but 90-plus percent know it's an inside job, but, black op. But, I mean, there's still those Kool-Aid drinkers. Jim, have you ever run into those?
No, not particularly, because I don't get into the accusation mode or the judgment mode. I simply present the facts and the information. And occasionally I hear somebody say, I don't believe that. Well, you know, that's fine. They're welcome to their beliefs. But I don't believe that is not a valid argument.
Absolutely. Here we go. Back to the full audience.
Enemy lines. The information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk to Bob in Florida. You're on the air with our guest. Welcome.
Hello, hello, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Bob. I got a question about JFK. It seems like he was too naive in the sense that he thought he could abolish the Federal Reserve without anything happening to him. Just by reading history, he should have known that anything he did to go around the bankers would have caused his death. Is there something else he could have done to lessen the power of the Federal Reserve without actually abolishing it or printing notes so that maybe today we could actually abolish it versus just abolishing it immediately?
Alex, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Okay, yes, there was things he could have done, and he was doing. He had his Treasury Secretary, they were beginning to alter federal regulations and rules, allowing power to be drawn back from the Federal Reserve System and back into the private banking system.
Now, he signed the executive order. He was pulling the troops out of Vietnam. He said he was going to abolish the CIA. He'd learned they were planning to stage terror attacks like 9/11. But just to expand on that, that's why even if Barack Obama was a wonderful person, nothing's going to change. That's why he's appointing all the same people. That's why he's going back on all the promises, because presidents are puppets, period. George Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, early on, got out of line, and the Secret Service lit him up. You want to talk about that, Jim?
Well, I will simply say that on all three network cameras that were filming Ronald Reagan's exit from that hotel when the assassination attempt happened, recorded 7 shots very clearly, and yet Hinckley's revolver was a 6-shot revolver. So nobody has ever bothered to try to determine where that 7th shot came from. But let me finish with Kennedy.
Well, the Bushes were also big buddies with the Hinckleys.
Exactly.
And had dinner with them the night before.
That's true. And it's funny because the Bushes are also the closest business and social friends to the Bin Laden family.
No.
Wait a minute. It gets a little thick there.
Okay, go ahead.
But in June of 1963, Kennedy even went farther than trying to curtail the power of the Federal Reserve System. He actually issued $4.2 billion in currency that he issued through the Treasury Department rather than through the Federal Reserve. I have a $5 bill, 1963, has red ink on it, and at the top, instead of saying Federal Reserve notes,
U.S.
it says United States notes. Now, the difference is that if we issue money through the Treasury, we don't have to pay interest on it to those international bankers. And Bob, the caller, was quite correct. I think Kennedy was a bit naive. He
yes.
really thought he was president of the United States, leader of the free world, and he thought that he could make decisions in the best interest of the public, namely issue money that's
all right.
interest-free. And he did not probably stop to realize that the only other U.S. president to issue interest-free money was Abraham Lincoln, who issued greenbacks to support the war between the states. And both of those men, and I don't think this is a coincidence, both of those men were shot in the head in broad daylight.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Bob. Any comments on why the establishment wanted Kennedy dead? Robert Groden.
Well, the president was ending the Vietnam War, which was big business and a lot of money to very, very powerful people, including Lyndon Johnson. Johnson was a major stockholder in, I believe, 7, perhaps more, at least 7 companies that had Vietnam War contracts. He made billions off the war himself. And it's not the only reason why the president was killed, but it was certainly one of the major reasons.
It's unbelievable.
Another major reason was he and his brother Bobby, the Attorney General, were fighting the only effective war in this nation's history against organized crime. Whereas Richard Nixon's closest friend was Bebe Rebozo, a mobster, President Kennedy and his brother Bobby were fighting a very effective war against people like Carlos Marcello, Santos Trafficante, Johnny Roselli, Jimmy Hoffa.
Who all were contracted by the mob for opium, cocaine, you name it, gambling, prostitution.
That's the CIA. And the CIA was gutting out American servicemen in Vietnam, filling their bodies with heroin and sending it back to the United States.
That's how they were funding their international operations.
And Kennedy had vowed to destroy the CIA. He said he was going to split it apart and into a thousand pieces and cast it to the winds. So what is the strongest motivation for murder? Self-defense. So the mafia, it was self-defense. To the CIA, it was self-defense.
Well, let's go further there. This is part of what governments do throughout history, and to be childlike and say it doesn't exist, you know, that's what's brought us to this point we are now, being openly raped by the bankers, $5 trillion stolen in 5 weeks right in front of everyone. But it is a great tragedy, because that's when the shadow government really was able to fully take over this nation. Let's go to John in Wyoming. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I want to follow up on what Jim said just a while ago, that yes, it was on June 4th, 1963, when JFK issued Executive Order 11110, which recalled the Federal Reserve notes, and I have one of those United States notes. It's a series 1963. It's a $2 bill. And indeed, this is what got him.
It's a $5 bill.
Yeah, but I have a $2 bill that's a series 1963. And it's also debt-free currency like that $5 bill that Jim has. But also, when I was living in Houston about 30 to 35 years ago, Channel 13, the ABC affiliate in Houston, showed an uncut copy of the Zapruder film, which, by the way, E. Howard Hunt's son was discussing with George Norrie shortly after E. Howard Hunt passed away, a couple of years ago, that shows that Corsican assassin on the grassy knoll hiding in the bush. They stopped the frame. You could see the bush halfway between Zapruder and Kennedy's Lincoln limousine, and they readjusted the focus to where the bush was in sharp focus, and you could see that well-dressed Corsican assassin wearing a suit, a tie, and a fedora.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, John. I appreciate the call, because we're almost out of time with our guest, but we have the photo expert. We have the person who released the uncut Zapruder film. We have the person that enhanced it and looked at it. Is what he was just saying accurate, Robert?
It's a matter of interpretation. Yes, he's correct. There is somebody on the grassy knoll in the closing frames of the Zapruder film behind the fence. But it's not sharp enough and it's not close enough to draw any kind of a determination as to whether or not you cannot make an identification. There is somebody there, but as far as that goes, whether he shows in the film or not, he was there, because the medical evidence proves it, the eyewitness testimony proves it, and certainly the acoustics evidence proves it.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go ahead now and take another call from Ronnie in Texas. You're on the air, Ronnie. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Briefly, me and Oswald and Ruby all lived in Oak Cliff at the time, and I've made it my business to try to learn as much as I could all these many years, and I really appreciate your guests there, and it's not no disrespect to them, but there's another great expert. That is, of course, Michael Collins Piper from the American Free Press, who wrote Final Judgment, the book that shook up my world and changed my life, and added up the real evidence from others. He didn't add any evidence of his own, but it points the finger of guilt directly to Israeli founder and first prime minister David Ben-Gurion and the Israeli organized crime family godfather of all godfathers, Meyer Lansky, and his gang.
And so no involvement, well, hold on just a second, but no involvement, though, by the president or the U.S. government or anybody that covered it up. It's just all only Israel, then.
No. My line about that is not who was involved. Who wasn't involved? They involved everybody. They had the Dallas cops. They had, you know, Johnson was probably involved. Who knows? But there's so many fingers of guilt on that thing. But and one of the main points that's been left out of everybody's book is that JFK smoked pot. He smoked pot. One of his early girlfriends, one of those girlfriends, made testimony about that, and then it was just kind of ignored.
Okay, let me just stop you right there. I believe I've even heard Jim, we're all friendly here, but I think I've even heard Jim attacked before by other people for not saying it's all Israel or something. Jim and Robert Groden, what's your take on this whole Israel thing? I'm certainly not saying that Israel didn't do a lot of bad things, but how much evidence is it that Israel ran the killing of JFK?
Well, go ahead, Robert.
None at all.
Right.
This is an anti-Semitic situation that began ago and detracts from where the real evidence is.
The thing is, Israel did not have the power to subvert the Secret Service, the CIA, the FBI, the U.S. military. Although I will say this, people, when you talk about Israel involvement in the Kennedy assassination, if you're looking at it at a lower level, that's really not even possible, as I just said. But if you look at it from the highest level, the people who created the State of Israel, Lord Rothschild is considered the father of modern Israel. And when you look at the people who created Zionism, who then created the State of Israel, who then created communism in Russia, who then created National Socialism or the Nazis in Germany, then you realize these are the same people who are the power structure, the true power structure, the United States. And yes, they at least had to acquiesce in the assassination of President Kennedy.
And there's claims that he wouldn't give orders. There's claims he wouldn't give nukes to Israel. And
that's true.
And that's what happened. You know, I would interview those people. It's just folks have been too nasty to me when I'm just open and friendly. Like if it's a Tex Mars or somebody, we just have them on because they're friendly. It'd be like if a neighbor ran up and threw paint on your face and said, you didn't invite me over for tea. And I'm like, well, if I'd have known you wanted to come over for tea, I would have had you over for tea, but you've thrown paint on me. I'm not going to have you on now. Okay, you know what, guys? I'm going to twist your arms. Go to the bottom of the hour. One more five-minute segment with both of you because I want to go to David, Tim, and Josh and others. We'll be right back. In fact, I'm going to talk behind scenes right now with them for everybody watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. Gentlemen, we're still on the web right now. You're game to come in and do five more minutes, right?
Yes, sure.
No, I'm leaving right this minute.
Well,
no, I'll stick with you.
Well, Jim, I know you're a busy guy. You got your mom to take care of. What, she's 94 now?
Yep. 94.
94, and I mean, I know how it is to have places to go and people to see and things to do, my friend.
No, I'll hang on. My voice seems to be holding out, so I'll give
it a shot. Whatever's in the air. I mean, I've had a chest cold for like 2 weeks.
Right, me too.
And everybody else I know, so that's why I'm constantly pausing and can't seem to be as articulate or silver-tongued as I normally am because I'm fighting hacking every 5 seconds. In fact, that feels better. There we go. But I do appreciate both of you coming on today. We're on the web right now, and of course it's a fraction of our audience, but in the aggregate, it turns out, I think, overall being bigger than even the live radio show. So why don't you guys take a few minutes out to talk more about your books and videos right now?
Well, my new book, maybe I'm being self-centered with this, but I think that virtually everybody who wants the older books already has them. When the new one comes out, it's going to be all brand new stuff, 800 photographs, and all the information about it will be on my website, jfkmurder.com.
So it's going to be the Rosetta Stone.
Take the time away from Jim right now. I'll just leave it with that.
So it's going to be the Rosetta Stone.
I certainly think so. There's a lot of stuff in there. We've got tons of new photographic evidence that no one even suspected existed before. And it's going to open up a lot of people's eyes. If anyone can look at the new book and doubt the fact that there was a conspiracy, they're so close-minded, nothing will get through.
Jim?
Right. Well, I've already plugged for my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. If you'll read that, I have a whole section in there. When I begin writing about these displaced Nazis who were run out of Europe thanks to World War II and the heroic and courageous service of our fathers and uncles and grandfathers, you know, who fought to restore freedom in the world. We just simply forced the Nazis to move. We only defeated the Germans. And they were brought over here by the same people on Wall Street and in the Eastern establishment who had funded Hitler before and during the war.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Your book actually even exposes some of the Zionist connection to all of that. And then people that haven't even read it are attacking you. I'm sure you're aware of this, saying you're covering up. You're saying it's all a Germanic thing when you're explaining it's a system of government and control by the international bankers. I'm just so tired.
Well, they're not thinking past a certain level. When I talk about Nazis, Nazi is an acronym in the German language for National Socialism. And today, for 8 years now, we've had National Socialism governing this country. And you see where it's gotten us. In fact, we're following right in the footsteps of Germany in the 1930s. They are wrecking the economy. When the economy gets so bad and they push us into the Amero, they're going to say, well, give us the power, we'll straighten this out, and we'll be right into a Nazi-type situation. The only thing we've done this year is swap National Socialism for Marxist Socialism, but at the very top, it's the same wealthy ruling bunch.
Absolutely, but
that runs both sides.
But the establishment wants us to all infight about different branches
right.
of the
well,
same structure.
You know, we're fighting over whether there was somebody on the grassy knoll or how many people were shooting at Kennedy.
Here we go. Here we go. We're going back live. Here we go.
Look at your women crying.
Jim, we were talking behind the scenes at PrisonPlanet.tv. I want you to finish your point. Then we're going to take a few final calls. We only got 5 minutes left with both of you, and I'll see you both this weekend up in Dallas for the 45th anniversary. You were talking about we're still fighting about men on the grassy knoll or did they go to the moon when openly World Bank system is setting up world government. They're openly announcing it. It's on the news. It's just incredible. Finish your point.
Right. Well, in the case of the Kennedy assassination, here's the bottom line. I'll be the first to admit that no one can say for absolute certainty or with absolute proof how many people were shooting at Kennedy, who they were, who paid them, where they came from, where they went to. But what we can show and document beyond any reasonable shadow of a doubt is that the truth of the conspiracy to kill Kennedy has been covered up at the level of the federal government of the United States. We can prove that there was alteration of evidence, destruction of evidence, suppression of evidence, fabrication of evidence, and intimidation of witnesses, all of which are crimes under our legal system. And Alex, Robert, folks, that's what transforms, which at that time was only another Texas homicide, into a national coup d'etat.
Absolutely. Let's take a few final calls here. Let's talk to Josh in Illinois. You're on the air. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Alex. You asked Jim earlier if he knew of, or you asked him if there's, if he knew of any way they would come after you or potentially take you out. And I have a probable scenario. In the event that our current president, in fact, Obama is taken out in a similar fashion as JFK was, it would not be difficult to use sound bites from your show and air them on CNN and Fox News and place the blame on your show and effectively take you off the air.
No, that's just craziness. I appreciate your call. And a meteorite could come through the ceiling and kill me from Planet Pop-Tart right now, or Puff the Magic Dragon could come flapping by because,
yep.
I mean, we're not on this show talking about hurting anybody or shooting anybody. Of course, we're. So, hold on. Now we shouldn't even talk about the JFK assassination because they could edit us to make it sound like we're talking about Obama. I mean, this is the type of just fear everyone is locked in. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'll tell you, over and above, they're not going to take you out because if you suddenly disappeared under any kind of unusual circumstances or strange one-car accident or something like that, all that's going to do is add credibility to your message. So they're smarter than that.
Let's take a final. Go ahead.
What probably will happen to you, Alex, is that under the Obama Marxist socialist regime, they will push heavily to outlaw hate speech. And, you know, in that way,
and the fairness doctrine
would be considered hate speech.
And the fairness doctrine, absolutely. And then it's liberal, so you've got to be for it. Let's go ahead and talk to Chris in Oklahoma. Chris, you're on the air with Jim Mars and Mr. Groden. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Chris from Oklahoma City. I've had the opportunity to speak with you at presentations at Jim in Washington and Austin. Thanks for taking my call. I want to thank all of you gentlemen for the work you're doing because it's making it a lot easier for us here in Oklahoma City to continue to research the bombing, working closely with a former state representative who's actually back in the State House. He was sworn back in 3 days ago, just FYI, and with Jesse Trenadue. And the question I had is, I was down at the School Book Depository Library, oddly enough, this last Friday, and I see the same storyline, the same mode of operation happening at the National Memorial Museum here in Oklahoma City. Do you think that we'll be able to crack the case and get the information out the way it should be? Or
yeah, on the inside job that was the OKC government-sponsored terror attack to try to shut down free speech. I mean, they use these little museums as their official story brainwashing centers. Jim and Robert, real fast, finishing up.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Again, it's appeal to authority. They have all the money, so they can build these museums and mount these very well-presented exhibits to push their official storyline. All I can say is, everyone who's listening, study, read, open your eyes and your ears and your mind and think for yourself. Don't let the people with all the money do your thinking for you.
Absolutely. And in closing, and I appreciate your call, Chris, we're out of time. In closing, Robert Grodin, you've got the last word.
Well, I'll simply quote two lines very quickly. The one that I've used for years and years is, "May all the truth be known soon." And one that Jim has used as long as I've known him now, which is approaching 30 years, I think, question authority. Always question authority.
Absolutely. Well, guys, let me say bye to you when we end this segment, and I'll see you this weekend. And it's just great working with Robert Grodin and Jim Mars on this new JFK film I'm making. We'll basically conclude shooting coming up this weekend and then just finish the film up in the next 4 or 5 months. We'll be right back.
We're on the march.
The Empire is on the run. Okay, guys, I just want to make sure we're still on air right now. Robert, did I ever get your cell phone so I can stay in contact with you when you're in Dallas? Or I guess I'll just see you at the Knoll?
Well, when they first called me today, they called me on my cell phone, so you do have that.
Okay, great. So I guess we need to make sure we have your other number in our computer. And, Jim, we've got your cell phone, so I'll see you out there Saturday as well.
Okay, I'm going to, according to your people, I'll meet you out there about 11 o'clock. That sound right?
All right, buddy. We'll see you then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Robert. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, I'm going to take a two-minute break. I haven't had one in about an hour. And we'll be right back with more phone calls and more news. Stay with me.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, coming up later, I'm going to play a few clips from Endgame 1.5, the extras that we posted on PrisonPlanet.tv, because one of the clips I played on the Sunday show, it's Dr. Michael Kaufman talking about, from government documents, giving the source, how they plan to mass drug us, dumb us down, control us, break up our families. And the other clip I'm only going to play part of, and there's a bunch more in the film and in the extras, where Daniel Estlin and others are talking about exactly. Now, this is 2.5 years ago when oil was $65 a barrel. And he said they're going to drive it up to $150 in a year and a half from now. Exactly that happened to get people out of their cars to have a post-industrial society. He talks more about that in the piece. He talks about how they're going to artificially drive the stock market back up to its, and he gives the year level when it was at, you know, 13,000. They did. They drove it to 14,000 to sucker everybody back in and then pop the subprime mortgage, and even gives the times. Now that is exactly, you know, that is not prophecy. That is not revelation. It is someone having eyewitness reports from the people that run the planet. That's how we could get on air and say they are going to devalue currencies worldwide. They are going to cut off liquidity. They are going to plunge the market so they can criminally consolidate and then propose, after they started it, after they created it, after they destroyed the confidence by fear-mongering and saying we were going to have a depression, they will then say we need a world banking system run by us, a small group of interbanks, setting the value of the currencies worldwide, controlling stock markets, and paying global money transfer taxes and carbon taxes to the private banks. That has now all been proposed. That is all in Endgame. Blueprint for Global Enslavement and its extra that's on the DVD, and then the second extra that was for PrisonPlanet.tv members. So this is what we're dealing with here. This is reality. We understand what's going on this show. We're telling you what's really going on in the world. So I want to go to David, Tim, John, Eric, and Max. Before the hour ends, I want to get into Paulson, was behind bailout martial law plan, and then I want to start airing these audio clips. But what we know the so-called government is doing, the global technocratic banking elite merged with its scientific social engineer elite, is hard for me to mentally face and deal with. So I don't blame a lot of you living in denial. Projecting what they've planned in the past, what they've done, what they're currently doing, what we projecting into what we think they're doing, I don't even want to say. I mean, these people are bad. I mean, it's so low down. It takes evil to a level just that Hollywood, the culture, books, novels, in fiction couldn't take you. Well, hell, Lenin killing 20 million and Stalin killing 40 million and Hitler killing tens of millions and Mao killing tens of millions. Thousands of sports stadiums filled with 100,000 people per stadium, you know, that equivalent. Picture that in your mind. I mean, that's hard to deal with, but this is far past even that, what's going on. And the people living in denial is what has allowed this to happen. So we're going to get into all that. Before I go to your phone calls and all this other news, don't forget, this holiday season, this Christmas, you can get 5 months free at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. And you can give yourself a gift. Go get a monthly membership or a yearly membership, or get 5 months free with a yearly membership. And share your passcode with your friends and family. You know, put it in a card and say, here's your gift, and you can share it as well. So I hope that people will do that with PrisonPlanet.tv and give the gift of information and unlocking people's minds so they can be aware of what's really happening in the real world. That said, it is important to get storable foods, and I've got as a sponsor the place that I knew about because I did my research years ago, and this is who I chose to buy freeze-dried and dehydrated foods from, non-GMO, clean, healthy food, and it stores for really 15 years in climate-controlled, 10 years in non-climate-controlled. It's super high-quality, eFoodsDirect.com, eFoodsDirect.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. Big banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Folks, you know, with how ruthless and out of control this elite is, it makes not even total sense. It's just a no-brainer to get prepared. So give them a call, get a free brochure. They've got boogie packs, 2 month supplies, up to 10 year supplies. They got it all. You'll be surprised at how affordable it is. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Also, there's another fine sponsor, and that's Ecola Blue. And people are going crazy over the sponsor, and they should. ECOLOBlue.com or go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Big banners up on the top of the page there as well. Atmospheric water generator for the home, pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure clean water without the fluoride. Ultimate water for the humidity in the air. Machine produces 28 liters or 7.5 gallons a day. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And then it goes through 5 filters inside. I use it. In fact, put me up on screen. This is a Ecola Blue water right here. It just blows anything away I've ever had. I mean, it's just, you could bottle this and sell it as the most awesome filtered water. I mean, have you tried this, how good it is? You ought to try it, Hoosh. It's good. All right. As Walter Brennan said, people told me that's not John Wayne. No brag, just fact. It's great stuff. Ecolablue.com or 866-585-4044. Okay. I want to tell you about one other fabulous sponsor, and then we'll go to your calls. And that, my friends, is Interfood. And they've got the best green food, bar none, out there. But not just that. I mean, the soils are depleted of the minerals, the nutrients. This is a whole bunch of superfoods together. Balanced energy all day long, greater stamina, 20 power-packed ingredients, greater mental clarity, reduced food cravings, improved liver function, healthy blood sugar, immune system support, improved digestion, detoxing effects, colon cleansing, on and on and on. Dulse kelp, barley grass, wheatgrass, chlorella, spirulina, over 20 power-packed ingredients. I believe in it. It's great stuff. And I didn't know for years when they were a sponsor that George Humphrey is friends with the founder right here in Austin, Texas. I didn't even know that. So they're patriots as well. Innerfood, E-N-E-R-Food.com, or link through at Infowars.com. Their new product is Natural Amino Acid Meal Replacement. To sum it up, it's basically a natural, healthy, effective way to lose weight while getting all the nutrients your body needs. How it works is you mix a cup up with a glass of juice and have it in place of a meal. For example, you then replace one of your meals every day, stay healthy, and get all your nutrients and lose weight in the process. So it's a great storable food type option as well. Innerfood.com or 866-762-9238, launching this new groundbreaking product, Natural Amino Acid Meal Replacement. Okay. Again, thank you to those sponsors. They make the broadcast possible, and they're great products. Let's go ahead and go to some of your phone calls. Again, we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. David in Texas, you're on the air.
I just want to give you an example here of how asleep a lot of people are. I work in the financial community, and I was at a conference a few weeks back, and most of these advisors that are actually advising clients and also product companies, they have no fundamental understanding of what's going on. Two easy examples that people can see. I was talking to the people, you know, throughout the few days around me about carbon taxes, you know, implemented or, you know, coming soon. And everyone said, that's impossible. That'll never happen. And I say, well, look, there already is established the Chicago Climate Exchange, the Montreal Climate Exchange, the European Climate Exchange.
They've introduced bills to start taxing every pig and every cow. What, for a cow it's $125 less with a pig for its methane, for its flatulence. Creatures have always been passing gas, but I mean, it's just pure bull.
I mean, and you know, these are already institutions and things set up, you know, ready to go. And you know, people thought I was crazy. I was like, well, look it up on your computer. I mean, these things are out there. But the more, you know, the thing that's actually more scary is the manipulation in the financial reporting. Let me give you a quick example. 10 years ago, when companies or analysts or news agencies would report their earnings, they would always report it year over year. They would say, our earnings are $1 a share this year, you know, first quarter this year versus 90 cents last year, first quarter. With the internet boom, most of these companies had no history, so in the financial reporting, everyone's moved over to, they look at the analysts, what the analysts say. And it's, you know, J.P. Morgan, all these different companies, they've got all the analysts. Well, they totally manipulate their data. And it's really easy to see. A simple example anyone can understand is, look at the earnings for any company before they report. What happens is, you know, you can look back at Lehman Brothers. This is a perfect example. First quarter this year. These aren't the specific numbers, but this is to show you how it works. The analysts estimate, you know, they say, we think their earnings are going to be $1 per share, okay? Pretty much on Wall Street, a lot of the information gets thrown around before it's actually reported for the public. So word gets out, and they find out, hey, their profits are actually only going to be 70 cents a share. So what do the analysts do? They drop their estimates very severe so that a couple weeks from then, it gets reported in the news, hey, you know, this company's earnings were 70 cents a share versus the analyst estimate of 60 cents a share. They beat the estimates, and everyone piles in and drives the stock up. But what they didn't tell you was, hey, 2 weeks ago, the analysts were actually estimating $1, and now they're estimating 60 cents. And the other thing is, they never will tell you, you know, they just typically don't report in the media. They say, look, the year previous, the earnings were actually $1.40. So they haven't beaten anything.
No, I mean, if you go through all the ways they cook the numbers, it'll just make your head spin. I mean, it's like now when cops kill people with tasers, they just say it's a syndrome. People just magically die now in police custody. It's not being beaten. It's not being tasered. It's a new syndrome. I mean, it's just made up bull. I appreciate your call. I could talk to you for hours. Great caller, but we need to get to everybody else here. Let's go back to the calls. Tim in Florida, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Back in the 80s, before there was a program like yours where people could call in and report terrible violations of civil liberties, I found out about some atrocities that I don't think have ever been reported in the general media. In those days, I used to, my way of avoiding society was just going out and traveling around the country, just hitchhiking around. And I started to notice that the state troopers in Wyoming on the stretch of I-80 between Laramie and Evanston were doing everything they could to provoke me in such a way that they would have an excuse to kill me. And so when I got home to Tennessee, I told my father, who was a federal judge, that I guarantee you the Wyoming Highway Patrol are murdering drifters. And he said, well, I'll go over here across the hall to the U.S. Marshal's office and ask him to check into it for us. And so later on in the day, he comes back over to me and says, well, you're right. There's five cases being investigated by the FBI right now of Wyoming Highway Patrol murdering drifters. And I don't think that's ever come out. I think if family members have ever lost relatives, you know, who are misfits or mentally ill or whatever, that they might want to know about that.
Well, I mean, it's true. The troops are coming home after three, four, five tours completely. I mean, you know, World War II vets, Korean War vets, you know, would go off and kill the neighbor from one tour. You know, their fuse gets very short. And these guys are coming home and they're cops and they're killing their families. It's in the news every day. They're killing us. I mean, you just backtalk them. They just pull their gun out and shoot you or beat you to death and they laugh about it. And then they don't get in trouble. And, you know, and the banks don't get in trouble for taking all our money either. That's what tyranny is. They just go, look, we rule. It's over. We're king. America's gone. Bye-bye.
Right. I think people need to be careful how they pick their battles because I think I've seen articles on your website that prepare people for this regime that's coming in because they will just blow your head off, you know, if you smart off to them. You know, they're just looking for...
Yeah, no. I mean, America is a big doormat. Or more like a toilet. And, yeah. And if you don't sit there loving it falling on you, you're bad. You're a terrorist. And
it's a lot worse than people realize, I believe. Because only the poor people and poor black people have put up with this for many years, you know, and people that live on the street, you know, they just get blown away and nobody knows about it. But now it's coming into the yuppies and people like that are going to be feeling the same thing that just used to be doled out to the unfortunates, you know.
That's right. I appreciate your call. John in Illinois, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, you know, I was listening to that first caller talking about the markets, and I think he's got it right in the spirit, but I've worked in the financial industry for a couple years now, and I've worked with some of the major brokerages like Lehman. And it's similar to that, but it's actually, if you look at the financial reporting, if you look at the way they value stock prices, it's all based on assumptions of future cash flow. And I can change a stock price by $20 by changing one assumption on the internal rate of return by a company.
Yeah, I mean, they value it by how much it makes a year and then projected what market analysts are saying about that industry in the future, and it's multiples of the price-earnings ratio.
Right, and so it comes back. But you also look at, like, what happens in the market. Most of the time when they issue earnings, great earnings, you'll see it pop up for a second, but then, you know, they did a study on Cramer, and most of the time, if you shorted his stuff, you know, they would... you'd make money, but then 2 weeks later, right, if you were long, you'd make the money because they're all looking for that short-term pop. All the pros are selling into that.
Tell the suckers, stay in for the long term so the pros can make money on the ups and downs.
Right, the pros make money, and they also make money in the long term as well. But if you look at the pits, and, you know, because I worked with the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, they're so crooked and corrupt in the pits, and they're insider trading all the time and making millions. And a lot of times what you'll see is when there's guys in there making markets, even the locals on the floor get hosed by Morgan Stanley's of the world because what will happen is they'll come in for a trade and they'll make the trade and the local will make a tick or two and, you know, the customer will have their giant order filled. But then the guy will come back to him 10 minutes later and say, hey, you got to make this change. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to trade with you again because our customer wants a better price. So even the locals on the floor, the exchange guys making a lot of money, are still getting hosed by the big banks. I mean, it's not...
That's right. They make them turn deals in and change them that they had.
Exactly. And then what happened was a couple years ago, the FBI did an investigation into that after the bell trading. Because the bell sounds at 3 o'clock, and then you got to be done trading on the pits. Well, what was happening was is people might have made trades a couple minutes, you know, like 20 seconds late or something like that. So they put a bunch of FBI guys down in the pits. And they did this investigation to try to find, you know, what's going on.
Well, hold on, I want to hear more about this when we get back. The United States of corruption. The inmates running the asylum. Don't call your name out my window, I'm leaving.
Don't call my name out your window, I'm leaving. I won't even turn my...
Yeah, he's going to go rambling, walking from town to town for a few weeks. Wouldn't make it far, he'd be tasered to death within hours. Land of the free, home of the brave. What are you doing, boy? Walking down the street.
You would say the same old thing that you've been saying all along.
I'm going to light you up with a little voltage. Just lay there and let the government urinate on you. That's what it's all about. Land of the slave, home of the coward. That's right. You're the masters. We're the slaves. Yes, sir, boss. We are the slaves. You are in charge. You are burning America down. You're taking her down. Good job. And it's going to get a lot worse a lot faster. All right. Look, I got phones loaded, tons of audio clips, tons of news I want to cover. You know, I just use the ski mask cop as the image of the New World Order. I'm talking about the government, the social engineers. They're the ones that caused all this. And look in the mirror. It's us. We did this. If you become decadent and lay down, evil will fill the vacuum. I want to get into Henry Paulson and the martial law threat. You know, we just calmly talk about it now. Oh, now the senators admit it's Henry Paulson threatening martial law. They didn't go along. And oh, yeah, they're building FEMA camps. Oh, yeah. Oh, Dick Cheney's been indicted by a Texas grand jury. Oh, just no big deal. Going back to John in Illinois, so there's all these FBI agents. Was this the Mercantile or was this on the stock exchange?
He just dropped off.
I wanted to hear a story. But I couldn't sing for 60 seconds? All right, doesn't matter. Call back some other day and tell me, John. That's fine, because I wanted to finish this before the hour ended, this hour. I know some stations don't carry the fourth hour, because that's somewhat new. We've been doing it only about 6-7 months. Here it is. PrisonPlanet.com. Paulson was behind bailout martial law threat. Inhofe says Treasury Secretary made dire warnings in conference call on September 19th. Well, we talked to two congressmen. It was a threat of the president doing it without Congress under martial law. But here is Senator Inhofe yesterday on the syndicated radio show, and we have a link to that at the bottom of the page with him on the Tulsa News Station. So here is Senator Inhofe yesterday saying it was Paulson.
Somebody in D.C. was feeding you guys quite a story prior to the bailout, a story that if we didn't do this, we were going to see something on the scale of the Depression. There were people that were talking about, you know, martial law being instituted, civil unrest, all this kind of stuff. Who was feeding you guys this stuff? Because, I mean, clearly it worked on Sullivan. Clearly it worked on Coburn. It didn't work on you. Who was feeding you this information?
That's Henry Paulson. We had a conference call. Early on, it was on a Friday, I think a week and a half before this, the vote on October 1st. So it would have been the middle, what was it, 19th of September,
okay.
We had a conference call. In this conference call, and I guess there's no reason for me not to repeat what he said, but he painted this picture you just described. He said, this is serious. This is the most serious thing that we face. It's going to be far worse than the Great Depression of the 30s. And all these things, he was very descriptive of exactly what would happen if we didn't buy out these toxic assets,
okay.
Which he abandoned the day after he got the money.
Okay, that was Senator Inhofe on Tulsa, Oklahoma's 1170 KFAQ. Appreciate that.
It's up on PrisonPlanet.com in this headline. By the way, I've got some news articles I've been wanting to show you. People send us news clippings, and I thought, why not every day or a few times a week on the document cam, we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv, why not show people some of those clippings? And I've got some of those, like the government wants to put cameras in all our cars to watch us. They're doing a study up north on this, so that's coming up too. Stay with me. I'm going to keep rolling
Thank you for listening to GC.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and get the document cam set up. Where's my remote control to control the document cam? I got such a messy desk in here. I can't keep track of it all anymore. Oh, we're good. We're on the document cam right now? Okay, good. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I'll go dig those articles out I got in the other room and show those later. Here's Paulson right here, folks. Oh, loving Paulson. Turn the lights on. Ah. So there he is. Folks, I'm just punch drunk with these allergies or whatever. Everybody in town has been sick. I mean, like everybody I know, with their heads about to explode for 2-3 weeks in Austin. And I have family grew up here, my mother, my grandmother. None of them ever had allergies till now. Now they're all sick, too. Something's going on. I'll just eat some more GMO food. Everything's fine. Paulson was behind bailout martial law threat. Give him a little mustache there. There we go. Now let's give him a little. There you go. Now he looks a little bit better. Talk about a dark guy. He is with the Nature Conservancy. He is a eugenicist, anti-human. And boy, he's going to hurt you bad and your family. That's what it's all about. Da-da-da, there we go. Here we go live. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go ahead now into our second hour here on PrisonPlanet.tv, doing 2 hours today. I want to go ahead and go to this first clip. This is Dr. Michael Kaufman from Endgame 1.5 reading from a government commission study about what they were going to do to the public, breaking up the family, drugging the population. I played this earlier in the week, but I want to play it again. And then the next segment, I'm going to play the clip. I don't know why I don't just play it from here. I can actually play the video from here and just show it to folks. But regardless, it's up on InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. This other clip from Endgame 1.5 that's on PrisonPlanet.tv, where Estelin, in June of 2006, were at the hotel after he had just met, literally in the woods near the hotel. He had to go out the back and hide from people following him. We were being followed around in the hotels. That happened this year up in Virginia. We had spooks all over us. I mean, flipping us off, wearing clown masks, following us. Oh, yeah, wait till all that footage comes out. Paul didn't see. I usually just hire folks, you know, like, hey, you look like a good person to work for me. You know, you're doing a good job over here at this other radio station I do a show out of. Here, come over here. He had no idea what he was getting into. Yes, Paul, we have it all on tape. Let's go ahead. Well, I mean, there's photos and video of him in the mask and flipping us off. Those have been posted on InfoWars.com. But side issue, here is Kaufman. Stay with us.
Back in 1965, the Department of Health and Education and Welfare, HEW, sponsored a study to define how they're going to get from where they were then in 1965 to where we are now in the 21st century. They came out with a report in 1969 called the Behavioral Science Teacher Education Program that's now fully integrated within our educational program. And this is what they said, and I want to have you hang on to your hats because you will not believe what they planned to do back in 1965-69 and what is happening actually today. He said, calculations of the future and how to modify it are no longer considered to be an obscure academic pursuit. Long-range planning and implementation of plans will be made by a technological scientific elite. This will strain the democratic fabric to the ripping point. The Protestant ethic will atrophy as more and more enjoyed a varied, leisured, and guaranteed sustenance. Work as a means to and an end of living will diminish. Most people will tend to be hedonistic, and a dominant elite will provide the bread and circuses to keep social dissension and disruption to at a minimum. A small elite will carry society's burdens. The resulting impersonal manipulation of most people's lifestyles will be softened by provision for pleasure-seeking and guaranteed physical necessities. The controlling elite will engage in power plays largely without the involvement of most of the people. And that is so true today. Most people have no idea what's going on in the international arena, have none. Almost all of this is being done in secrecy. Going on with this report, the society will be a leisurely one. People will study, play, and travel. Some will be in various stages of the drug-induced experiences. Each individual will receive at birth a multi-purpose identification, which will have, amongst other things, extensive communications and control uses. Each individual will be saturated with ideas of information. Each will be self-selected. Other kinds will be imposed overtly by those who assume the responsibility for the other's actions. Relatively few individuals will be able to maintain control over their opinions. Most will be pawns of competing opinion molders. It's amazing how back in the 1960s, they began the process of getting us to where we are right now. If you look at society today, almost every one of the characteristics that I read have come true. We are living in a planned society. We are living focused on leisure and recreation. We live in a drug-induced society. All of the things that they talked about in the 1960s have become a reality by the 21st century. This is the level of extent of control that they have. Most people's opinions are not done by through education and through knowledge. They're done by molding your ideas. And that's why it's very hard for the average person to understand the fact that we're moving into a global society that is totally controlled by puppeteers, the global elite, and moving towards their ultimate objective of having world government.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Steve Shank. The economic disaster is taking food out of the mouths of our families.
Let me go ahead and talk to John.
Food brokers and grocery stores can't get credit.
Yeah, we keep getting all these emails and calls going, you guys are talking during the breaks. Yes, we know that. That's the whole point, is that at PrisonPlanet.tv, when you're a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, you get to see what's going on behind the scenes here. The document cam, exclusive video that we stream first here on air, everything. And then we also archive all that for PrisonPlanet.tv members. So if you're listening on the internet streams that are free, please spread the word about them. A, don't forget we have a free podcast at Infowars.com you can subscribe to, not just to the streams, to listen how you want, when you want. We have the archives posted as well. That's now there the last few months, in the non-podcast delivery form. It's about 110,000 a day now are downloading the free podcast during the week. The Sunday show, only about 65,000 are downloading that show each day after the show. But it's growing about 5,000 a week, so that's quite a growth curve. And then the millions of listeners on the AM and FM dial, it's very, very exciting, and I'm honored to be your host and honored that you're supporting us. And, yeah, until December 25th, we have five-plus, it comes out to 5.3 months, free when you sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv. And especially for our web-savvy folks, this is so easy to do. Takes about a minute to sign up. You get a monthly membership or a yearly membership, but really you pay for 6.7 months and you get 5.3 months free. That's the special we're doing right now. You get a year, pay for a year, you get 5+ months free at PrisonPlanet.tv. And before, when we didn't have really powerful servers, we would keep it to about 2 or 3 IP addresses so people couldn't share their passcode. Now that we have these great CDNs and stuff isn't overloaded, it ends up costing us money, but we don't care. The goal is to get the word out. You can give yourself a PrisonPlanet.tv monthly or yearly membership, create a passcode, and put that in a card for your friends and family and say, here is a membership for you. And explain to them, they just go enter the username and passcode, two numbers. It could be whatever you want. Make it simple, though, if it's going to be a gift. And boom. Boom. They are on there downloading it, watching it in high quality. I mean, it's almost TV quality. So please support PrisonPlanet.tv, and it is a great gift to give. You'll save a lot of money not battling the people at the stores or the economy's so bad there's not much battling going on. But you'll save a lot of money. It's inexpensive, and it gives the gift of knowledge and information there at PrisonPlanet.tv. And, yes, with this economy going down, we need to be capitalized more than ever so I can keep all my troops hired, you know, my crew here on board, so we can keep fighting now in these dark times that we're needed more today than ever before. Here we go back to the full audience. That Kaufman clip's basically over, isn't it, John?
It's got about a minute left.
Okay, let's come back in and finish that and then play the next clip from Endgame 1.5.
Work.
That's right, the GCN Radio Network. I am Alex Jones. Daryl Rundis, who popped in last week with ideas of taking on the New World Order, will be with us in the last 30 minutes today again. I know we have calls, a bunch of clips I want to play, some other news, jam-packed final hour here. But before I do that today, I wanted to finish up the Dr. Michael Kaufman clip and then another clip from Endgame, so here it is.
They have created various crises along the way over the last 100 years. World War I, as we've talked about, was contrived. World War II was contrived. We got the United Nations as a result of World War II, which was one of their big goals. Even though they denied the fact that they ever intended to have the United Nations as a world government, some of their more esoteric documents show very clearly that that's what they intended right from the start. And we're starting to see that now with the Commission on Global Governance. All the international treaties that we're looking at, especially the environmental treaties, basically are like these strands over Gulliver and Gulliver's travels. One strand does not necessarily trap us, but when you have hundreds of these international treaties and all of these regulations, when you have the North American Union, where you give up your basic sovereignty to a group of international bureaucrats, all of these things are strands that literally tie us down to the point that we no longer have freedom to cause development. We no longer have economic freedom. We no longer have a free market enterprise. We no longer have the ability to profit from innovation. And that will ultimately destroy us. Now that we no longer have war to maintain stability within the population and maintain control, which is kings and queens and bureaucrats and tyrants and so forth through history have used war, we have to have an alternative form of terror in order to maintain the stability of people and the allegiance of people behind their government. That is now taking the form of terrorism.
Absolutely. Okay. We're also going to stream this video at PrisonPlanet.tv, but we're going to play it from John's end. This is Daniel Estulin, and then it cuts into some other people. Myself, Jim Tucker, talking about the inside info from Bilderberg 2.5 years ago. And he talks about how they were going to go up to $150 a barrel. It had hit $60 a barrel then. He talks about how they're going to sucker people back in the stock market by running it up to 14,000. I mean, they run things, folks, okay? This is really happening. So here it is.
One of the things that, you know, we're getting from this morning's conference, is about the energy crisis, the rest of the world. This, the afternoon conference, which started about 4 o'clock, 4:30, we were talking about one of the American delegates, I wasn't told who exactly it was talking about the concern that the American citizens have had with the housing prices going down, so they're not investing that money. So what they needed to do is they needed to create the illusion that everything is going well. So what they're going to do over the next year and a half, is to bring the market back up to 1998, 1999 levels. They're going to get all the suckers to invest whatever little money they have left over, and that's when they're going to make the economy bottom drop out. They need to destroy the economy, because as we're running out of oil, when people don't travel, at least that's what they're saying, when people don't travel, when people don't have money, they don't travel, they don't spend any money, which means you don't waste a lot of oil and natural gas. That's actually the two people who are members of the Bilderberg Club.
It's actual members that are
They're members of the Bilderberg Club who for years and years and years have been going and participating in all the conversations. They've always been dead on, always. And last year they said the oil prices are going to go up to 150. At the time it was 39, went up to 76, yeah. Basically doubled. If it doubles again, it's going to be back to where these people
are. That guy ran it, will at 150.
Well, the Iran thing is on the back burner. It was very much on the agenda last year, but from what I'm getting at this year's lunch, today's lunch, and a few people playing golf, the Iran is definitely sour, and they're not exactly sure how to do this thing. There's just too many consequences and too many repercussions. Anyway,
they told them no. I mean, they said don't attack Iraq, half of them back in.
Well, I think it's different. I think the new cause, I think the Bush administration is not in the same position as they were 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
As they are now. So the whole point is that
28% of bill writing.
Huh? We still have 2 days of Bilderberg conference because it started late, a day late. It's going to go on until Sunday afternoon. I think it's going to go Sunday morning. Still going to have discussing something. Anyway, it's on all day tomorrow. So we'll find out a lot more about what they're going to be talking about. Tomorrow, the first item on the agenda is Eurasia. Russia, China, and the relation that the Russians and the Chinese have with the Americans. That's the first item on the agenda, first thing in the morning. And that's the that discussion forum will be led by Richard Cohen.
The New World Order, as we're seeing it evolve, is exactly the opposite of what our founding fathers intended by developing the Constitution, the tripart form of government where you have division of powers between the legislative, judicial, and executive branches. When our founding fathers established the Constitution of the United States, they intended to have the local government as being the superior government over the state government and the federal government. Unfortunately, over the last 50 years, the reverse has occurred. Now we have an all-powerful federal government. Jefferson said when that happens, we will have a tyranny that is far worse than the one that they had just separated, which was, of course, England. We now have a government, basically, that is a tyrannical form of government in the federal government. It will become more so in the future because they have no accountability to the actual local person. The reason why we had local government as being the most powerful government in our Constitution was the fact that these were people that were being elected by the people over which they had jurisdiction. Now we have jurisdiction by bureaucracy at the federal level that has no accountability whatsoever to the local person. And that will always result in tyranny eventually.
Bilderberg's ultimate goal is a world government for the United Nations to evolve into a world government, and they're making progress, and we must stop that progress. The fact that the UN is now the standing army of NATO is now the standing army of the United Nations that was established at the 50th anniversary celebration of NATO, pending before the UN.
Okay. And then, of course, Jim later predicted that George Bush was actually going to say global warming was real, that we needed the carbon tax, which he indeed later did do. I mean, these guys, this is the heads of the big banks. This is the queens, the kings. This is the Rothschilds. This is the Rockefellers, and they run it. And they engineer the economic collapse we're in publicly. They are stealing all the money. And they're going to steal even more, and they're going to take your houses and farms and ranches and businesses, and they don't care about you having a free market. They don't care about you living a good life. They don't want you to. That's what all this grid of control and all this enforcement's about. It's about taking you down to slave level. Now, I want to go to your phone calls for those that are holding. David, and well, we've already gone to them. Eric and Max and Junis and Abraham and everybody else. We'll get to you. Ron in New York. Ron's a cop, so we'll go to him. I want to hear from him. I think that's the New York cop we know from years back. Sends us a lot of good stuff. In fact, I'll go to him first in a minute. But I wanted to go over some of these headlines. I've been meaning to do this for days. It's the kind of stuff I get sent from listeners. This is a report out of the New York Times for everybody. And you can see there on the screen that there is a tiny camera built in to the upper part of the windshield, watching her. And I'll back it out so you can see the full headlines in the Nation section. Cameras keep an eye out. Now, I remember in 2000 reading studies by Toyota, Chrysler, and others where they said that they were going to condition the public to accept cameras in all the cars with the police dialing in when they wanted to, just like OnStar with the audio, with the cell phone and listening to you, to, quote, see if you're okay for safety. They also said it could be advertised, and I put this in my films, like Police State 3, Total Enslavement, that first parents would use it to track their children, and parents would use the cell phone function that tracks you with a website down to a few feet of, you know, from where you are, because under the 96 Telecommunications Act, they built this in. And sure enough, here they are conditioning everybody to get ready for this. Also, Toyota wants to have an infrared camera that if there's pressure on the seats, when it's hot in the car, you know, this will save a 30-something kids a year that die with their parents leaving them in the car, that'll call the police, and the police will dial in over a mobile modem and watch you. And they're doing federal studies to get people to put tax by the mile tracker systems in their cars. So everybody's being conditioned right now, and it says, I feel like I'm being babysat, said Stacy Richardson, 17, of the camera installed in her Ford Escort. Her father says it's for her own good and the good of other drivers. It says devices note when a teen makes an unwise move and lets parents know. And see, now it's going to be truck drivers and everybody else. They're conditioning the public to accept a total Big Brother society. This is how it happens. But see, this would be fine if we had angels running things. We don't. We have a corrupt elite, a dangerous society, very evil elite. Throughout history, this stuff is always abused, and it is being abused. It says, Kevin Richardson does not have to ride in his 17-year-old daughter's Ford Escort to know when she takes a turn too fast. The camera system installed in her car will email him about it. So, see, that's just like the black boxes 15 years ago they put in all the cars that track you and know how you wrecked or what really happened and then is used against you in a court of law, or the progressive insurance boxes they put in your car. See, it's all about surveillance. The camera system installed in her car will email him about it. And it says, she's at the age when she's a little rebellious, said Mr. Richardson. And see, the public's a little rebellious. We need to have this done by government. It's our big brother. It's our big daddy. Mr. Richardson, 54, of Ludsby, Maryland, said, and I'm of the age where I'm not in a mood to take any crap. The Richardsons are among the 100 families in southern Maryland enrolled in a state-sponsored study to install camera systems that record the movements before and after an unusual driving maneuver, such as a sudden braking or a too sharp a turn. And state officials want to put these in everybody's cars. I've read their studies. This tells the slaves they want to put it in the cars of people 16 to 20. And they're talking about, you know, not letting teens have but one person in the car, or not letting teens drive after night. It's training them just how to be prisoners. And then when they grow up, they'll still be prisoners. So there is Big Brother cameras, and public schools everywhere have cameras in the bathrooms and in the classrooms as they learn how to be good little prisoners. In fact, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we're going to skip this break and I'm going to talk behind the scenes so we can come back and take calls so I can go through the other news articles. But when we come back for the full audience, we will go to some of your phone calls. So stay with us. If you want to see this, go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, there is that article, Cameras Keep an Eye Out. So learning how to be surveilled little slaves, the state doing studies on putting cameras in our cars to watch us and track us and control us. An Amy Goodman story here out of the Athens Daily Review, and this story makes a joke. The headline does, Invasion of the Sea Smurfs. That was not her headline. Then you read it, it admits that the Army is going to be used against the American people. So we see a lot of this in today's media and in today's society. They always make these very threatening things more palatable by acting like it's friendly and fun to be surveilled by the military and to have the military preparing to wage war on the American people when the military is trained to kill people and break things. Speaking of roads and cameras they want to put in all the cars to track the American people and to tax us, that's already being done in England and Germany. Road operators bank on future tolls. Another PR piece out of the Dallas Morning News about how, well, the economy's down, so we've got to toll the roads. The roads are all paid for, and that's all come out. The politicians have been paid off to just hand these over to the foreign corporations, and we've detailed that, and we cover that in my film, Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And up on the document cam, we will show you this article right now. But there it is, road operators bank on future tolls. Here is another report. FBI struggles to cover cases because, you see, under Bill Clinton and President Bush, they got rid of the vast majority of agents that investigate real white-collar crime. They actually beefed up through the Treasury and the IRS itself investigators to squeeze the common middle class for non-crime-related stuff. So again, squeeze the slaves, squeeze the milk cows, run them into submission. But for the real white-collar criminals, the Enron types, the Treasury Department types, the Goldman Sachs types, they actually just basically took all oversight off of them. FBI struggles to cover cases focused on terrorism. There's been fewer agents to handle financial crime, and that's the Bush family specialty. Jeb Bush and Marvin Bush is raiding SNLs and Silverado savings and loan. And now Obama is now admitting he's the architect of the bailout. He's all for it. Unlimited cash to the foreign banks. Nothing for American automakers, which I'm not even for bailing them out, except for the fact that the Chinese government's announcing they're planning to buy at least Chrysler and GM and $25 billion, two or three B-2 bombers. So this is a national security infrastructure issue. But because the globalists could care less about our infrastructure, and because they actually want to destroy our national sovereignty, you know they're going to go for it. So FBI struggles to cover cases. There is that headline right there for you. And then here's another one. I mean, I probably see 10 of these a day and don't even cover them. Mexico's top federal police official quits, caught involved in all this criminal activity and narcotics trafficking. And the U.S. pays them tens of billions a year to make sure that U.S. drugs make it in and that other cartel drugs don't. So there is a drug war, but it's a fight over the market with the criminal banks we have. And then in the stack people mailed me, there are two other articles that I didn't bring in here because I was busy digging through a giant stack and couldn't find them, that I saw this week of Texas sheriffs caught dealing drugs. I mean, just in one week. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall evil, wall-to-wall corruption. That is your criminal New World Order. So there that is. Here we go. Back to the full audience.
Today.
Okay. On a long, lonesome highway. You know what? I forgot I've had Ted Anderson sitting there for 15 minutes. But we will go to your calls when Daryl Rundis is on with us, I promise. Ted, are you still in the studio?
Yeah, I'm right here, Alex.
You are a real trooper. You know, I called you an hour ago and said, come in, tell us where gold is. It's up today. Major newspapers are reporting that governments worldwide are out of gold, can't keep up with demand. Again, we have total manipulation going on here when the COMEX, you know, says gold is $750. But when people are paying $1,000 or more an ounce all over the world and the gold is selling out, again, you're not adding some huge premium on this gold, Ted. You're selling it because you bought it a week ago or more than a week ago when it was less. You're passing on that $50-plus dollars an ounce savings to people, and that's why you're so competitive because you've been in the business 30 years.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I did buy this stuff between $700 and $710. Gold is up another $10 from yesterday when we had talked. My prices are exactly the same as they were yesterday. So, you know, you're getting one great bargain. And the reason why I'm able to do this is because you're right. I did buy this stuff, and until I run out of stock, I'm not going to raise the prices. I do have the franc still. It's 187. Anybody who listened yesterday knows that I was offering them at 187. I also have the British sovereign right now at 228. I'm sorry, the U.S. Eagles are sold out. I'm not U.S. Eagles. The Canadian Maple Leafs sold out. They're done. I'm going to have to go out and buy them again and probably going to be close, you know, into the 900s now. But they're gone. The thing that I'm thinking right now, Alex, I mean, there's a lot of people right now that when everything backs off, they think, oh, things are getting better again. Thank God. It's not getting better. Things are getting a lot worse. Unemployment numbers that are coming out are astronomical. You know, the automakers right now are about to fail. If they give them money,
it's the worst Christmas shaping up since the last year of World War II when our economy was basically, you know, no Main Street economy. It was all wartime economy. Ted, this is scary.
It is. It's terribly frightening. And I can tell you right now, people should be getting into gold and silver, and they should have something that's real and hard that they can hold on to. This paper currency is doomed. The one thing that I was thinking, you brought up Christmas, and there's a lot of people that are thinking about what are they going to buy for Christmas. You know, all these store cards that you can buy, the merchandise cards so people can come back and buy what they want. I would suggest this. Walking Liberty halves in rolls of 20 are sitting at $168 per roll of 20. They're at $8.60 a piece or $168 per roll of 20. Buy those and give those to your friends, your relatives, your kids. Man, they're going to need this stuff. They might not know it right now because a lot of people are still under the impression that the United States economy is going to pull through. But they're going to need this stuff. This is the thing that
In case things completely collapse, and I'm crossing my fingers, hoping, you know, praying that it's only a deep, long recession. But even mainline analysts are all saying, no, it's the question will be, how bad will the depression be? I just hope that people take advantage. Now, you do have American Eagles left when almost everybody else is sold out, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got American Eagles, just the Maple Leafs right now at this particular...
What size is an American Eagles?
I have 1 ounce, half ounce, quarter ounce, and tenth ounce. So if whatever you decide...
All right, you have British sovereigns, you have francs. Give people the prices on those and the price on the silver.
Again, 187 on the franc And the British sovereign right now is 228. Alex, that is the same exact price when gold was at 706, right about the time I was locking in that, on this stuff. And the Walking Liberty halves. I mean, the coin right now is $8.40. Silver dollars are $25. You know, this is a lot more silver for the money. It's a better looking coin. And the main part about it is that this is the kind of thing that's going to bail you out when things are, you know, we're heading towards the kind of economy that you're going to need gold and silver to buy goods and services.
Well, I know this. I mean, I can feel really good about this. You're a sponsor of the show. You've made the show possible. You're selling gold cheaper than anywhere else I can find it. It's high quality. You have it in your vault. You can ship it directly to people. Folks should call 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237 today, and they should get into a tenth of an ounce, a half an ounce of gold, silver, whatever. Get in the mindset of getting out of paper dollars, especially those of you that have assets and you're still got it sitting in the bank of the stock market. Mainline analysts are saying 20-30% in precious metals, but they're still telling you, you know, have paper. Folks, if you trust the government or some far-off government to have it in a bank account or in a vault, then be my guest. But I would physically hold it, ladies and gentlemen, 800-686-2237. Here's that number if you missed it, 800-686-2237. Got links to MinusResources.com up on InfoWars.com. Ted Anderson, thanks for spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up again.
You bet. Here's the number again. They'll be there till midnight, 800-686-2237. Give them a call. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
800-686-2237. Here's that number if you missed it. 800-686-2237. Got links to MinusResources.com up on InfoWars.com. Ted Anderson, thanks for spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up again.
You bet. Here's the number again. They'll be there till midnight. 800-686-2237. Give them a call. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
For those holding, like Max and Junis and
this is the
Abraham, Ron first. I'm going to get to you, Ron, with Daryl Rundas, our guest. We're going to have him back up in the future. But Daryl's a very successful advertising guy. He owns a large company that is out there marketing. He also helped start some folks in some international Christian ministries that are pretty well known. And he and I are wargaming out ideas of how to really get people trained and educated, how to go out and wake up others. Let me tell you, Daryl's a great salesman. You ought to see him on the street. I've seen it. He's going to be up there off and on with us this weekend in Dallas. He's flying back in from Hawaii to his home outside Dallas to be with us some up there this weekend. So if you're up there at the Grassy Knoll, you'll probably see Daryl thereabouts the area with us. He's also going to go to the In the Fed with us that's coming up on Saturday. That's only about a mile and a half away from there, as we protest the Federal Reserve. But Daryl, I wanted to have you back up this week, and we appreciate your time, to talk about ways to reach out to people, ways to not run folks off when you come up and try to talk to them on the street about the New World Order, government-sponsored terrorism, the Antichrist, whatever we're talking about.
Well, Alex, thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here. Glad to share my time with you. You know, I broke down a very simple four-step procedure for people, and I call it IPOD, I-P-O-D, and it's an acronym that just helps people kind of give them a guideline of how to effectively express their thoughts, their ideas, their message, you know, whatever it is they want to communicate to people, and to do it in a way that makes sense. The I simply stands for icebreaker or introduction, and, of course, you've seen our million-dollar bills or our little curved illusion pink and blue gospel tracks. And we use those as a way to open up that door of conversation, i.e. might hand somebody $1 million bill and then say, hey, could I ask you the $1 million question? And so, you know, there's lots of things you can do, DVDs, you know, flyers, promotional material. And if you really want to be successful getting it in people's hands, you know, what you can do is just ask a question that no matter how they respond to, they're going to want one, i.e. I say, hey, Alex, do you live here in town? You'd say,
yes, I do.
Oh, good. You'll need this. And then if you say, well, no, I don't, I'll say, well, here, you need this.
because either way, they need that, right? So, hey, are you happy with the way the government's taking care of things today? No? Oh, here, you'll want this. And it's a great way to get about 90% of the people just to take the literature or the DVD or whatever it is you're passing out at the time.
Yeah, because I watch these videos of We Are Change, 9/11 Truth. About half the time, folks won't take it, you know, because they see a nervous solicitor going, no, that doesn't work. They need to go, hey, I've got something that's really important for you. I've got some amazing stuff for you. But you have even better ways of doing that. So tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you could even ask things, or what I say, customize the approach. In other words, I might say, if you were walking down the street, I'd say, hey, all the handsome guys get one of these today. You know, and of course you're going to laugh and go, oh, okay, great, and you'll take one. You know, if it's a mom with kids pushing a stroller, I may say something like, hey, everybody with cute kids gets one of these today. And I go, oh, thank you, and they take it. So, you know, it's really a matter of just approaching people with dignity, with respect, and being calm, cool, collected about it. If you seem fanatical, then they, you know, kind of give you the Heisman move, right? You know, they kind of put that arm out and say, hey, no thanks. So you have to do it in a way that allows you to reach out to these people. Moreover, IPOD, right? The P stands for probing or asking questions. And all too often, people are so eager to get their message out, they never take time to connect with that person by asking probative questions. You know, questions like, hey, do you live around here? What do you think about our government? What do you think about this financial crisis? You know, do you think we should have bailed them out? What do you think? Where do you think that money's going? You know, just use the initial icebreaker.
Well, I mean, like, here's an example. Are you glad that the war is going to continue for at least 3 more years? And they're like, no. You know, 80% of the American people say, well, did you know that Obama says he's going to continue it? Then they instantly wake up that Obama's bad instead of, Obama's bad, and I'm going to tell you why. Then they're going to argue with you.
Right, absolutely. Then initially they're just going to put up their dukes, right, and they're ready for a big debate or an argument. And our job, you know, as a Christian, I look at it and think, well, all these end times prophecies that we see unfolding before our eyes, we know that the day is going to come when there will be a new world order. There will be a world government. There will be a one world currency. There will be an implant of a chip. And, you know, in fact, today on your website, I read about Microsoft working with Verichip, right? So, you know, the stage is being set for all that to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen, therefore I believe it to be true. So we can't really stop it from happening. But what we can do is be faithful farmers and sow that information, sow that seed of information to people. And then, once again, remember that, hey, don't take it rejection if they say no to you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the material. And it's really not your job to wake them up. Your job is to give them good information. And then that's the rest is between them and God. Or their own conscience.
Well, it's our responsibility to warn people and reach out to them, and the Bible is full of that. Common sense just states that. Daryl, breaking off for a minute, because you've been involved, you know, heavily with Christian ministries. You've gotten, you know, thrown out of public places. It's been in the newspapers in Dallas trying to give people tracts, and then made big cases out of that to defend the First Amendment. How did they take over the churches and turn them from being the tip of the spear morally and Christians knew they were supposed to be active and knew they were supposed to be out helping the poor to just going to these big glistening mega mall churches and worshiping some guy in a, you know, fancy suit with a pinky ring?
Well, I think a lot of it just stems from the fact that people are apathetic. You know, they're just plain apathetic. They just don't care. It stems back to love. Once again, if they truly loved others, then they would reach out to those people. They'd help those people. They couldn't turn a blind eye to the needs that people have. But yet, sometimes I wonder if they're even saved, you know, truly saved. You know, they may say they're a Christian, but the fruit that comes from their life may dictate otherwise. So Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. And in fact, Matthew 24 and 25, when he talks about all the warning signs of the last days, you know, earthquakes, pestilence, famines, wars, and so on, there's one warning sign he starts with, he ends with it, and he repeats it 10 times. He doesn't repeat any of those other warning signs, but he repeats this one over and over, and it's, be careful no one deceive you. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and there'll be false prophets, false teachers, false witnesses. And, you know, a lot of Christians disguise their Christianity under Romans 13. They say, oh, we got to submit to authority. We got to submit to the people. And you got all these pastors and people telling people when martial law comes, just submit to authority. But if that was true, then Jesus, when what he stood for, when he stood up to all the leaders of the day and called them sons of hell and brood of vipers and hypocrites and told them that they would, that the drunkards and the prostitutes that he was ministering to would enter the kingdom of heaven even before them, because they were religious, but they didn't have any relationship, and they were all about, you know, power and money and fame and control. And, you know, we see a lot of that in the church today. They don't, it reminds me of an old book about these two guys that get stranded on an island, right? And the guy, first guy looks around, he finds out there's no food or water. He comes to the other guy, says, "Hey, man, we're going to die. There's no food or water." The guy says, "Hey, don't worry about it. I make $100,000 a week." The other guy says, "Hey, wait a minute, I don't think you understand, dude. There's no food. There's no water. What good's $100,000 a week going to do us on a deserted island? I mean, there's no stores." He says, "Look, man, I make $100,000 a week, and I'm a Christian, and I faithfully give 10% to the church. I know my pastor will find us."
Oh.
And I think that's a lot of it. You know, the pastors don't preach the truth today because they're afraid they're going to lose that money that people are given and caught into the things of the world.
Yeah, they're little glitter bugs, and then people, like, they're buying an indulgence from the Catholic Church 500 years ago, go, and then they give that money, and so they think, oh, it's all handled. Meanwhile, there's people and families falling apart all around them. The government's abusing people all around them. And I'm sorry, folks, if you're not putting yourself up against evil and tyranny, if you're not being persecuted, you're not in the right spot. This is not supposed to be fun, and it's not supposed to, you know, just all be a bed of roses, but it's rewarding. You know, not that I'm some higher mighty or good person. I'm terrible. You know, growing up, I never understood, you know, going to church or whatever, why they said, you know, being persecuted was a blessing. But then, you know, you're doing the right thing, and it's such a blessing to be fighting evil and saving people and waking people up and doing that it's a blessing when you're attacked, because you see the anger in the enemy. You see them hopping up and down, realizing that you're over the target, bombing the hell out of them.
That's right. If you're not getting flack, you're not over the target, right? So when I see people mock me, make fun of me, you know, persecute me, I rejoice. Jesus says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Just as they crucified him, you know, they're going to do other things to his servants. So, and it's not even if you're not a Christian, if you have, once again, any love, any compassion for other people, and the facts are the facts. I mean, the things you report on your show are accurate. You're not a prophet. You're not predicting the future. You're just doing your homework, and you know history, and you know history repeats itself, and you see the way the New World Order is positioning themselves. And so, once again, even if you're not a Christian, you should care enough about your fellow man to try to wake them up. Now, once again, it's not your responsibility whether they wake up or not. It's your responsibility to give them the information.
I agree. And
to share.
Daryl, I want to talk more about that in future shows and more before you leave us today. But right now, I want to go to Ron in New York because he's a caller been holding for about an hour, and then he's got some info for us. And then we'll get back into ways to reach out, ways to be more effective. And we're going to make some little videos for YouTube, maybe even this weekend, of examples of you and I doing this. You're a lot better at it than I am at actually getting folks to stop and listen. Let's go, and like how to build a crowd, how to get folks around you, how to really be effective. And we appreciate you doing that. Ron in New York. Ron, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Alex. Alex, one of the things I want to speak about today is the nomination of Eric Holder for Attorney General of the United States and the way the mainstream press or establishment press has treated it. I find it rather ironic that the only thing that they could mention about him was his involvement with the pardon of Mark Rich when he was at the Justice Department under Bill Clinton. Now, while that is certainly something that should be examined in a transgression, by comparative analysis, it's the least of his transgressions, and the greater ones are not mentioned. Eric Holder was instrumentally involved in the incineration, or what I prefer to call the murder at Waco, of those children. He was an upper echelon member of the Justice Department at that time.
They're appointing the worst people, not just people from the Clinton administration, the very worst from that administration and the Bush administration, and slumlords and gangsters. I mean, folks, they are going to hurt us bad.
Holder's record is even worse than that. Holder, he's a funny guy. He made a statement a few days ago about how he wants to restore the United States to a level of respect for human and civil rights. Yet, as a stooge for the Bush administration in 2005, he came up with strategies to help them have the infamous Patriot Act renewed. So this man is like totally mercenary. In addition, any of your listeners who are over 15 years of age should remember Holder going before congressional committees in the early 90s, 1993-94, to defend the behavior at Waco and at Ruby Ridge. I'll never forget this man's testimony. He was dripping with indifference and arrogance to the murder of children. And yet,
hold on. You're a retired New York cop, sent us a lot of good info over the years. What do you think about everything that's unfolding and happening right now?
Well, what I think about is that it's everything that anyone with a logical and dialectic mind could have predicted. Like, call it the New World Order, the globalists had their plan in effect, and it's unraveling now, and it's coming to its complete fruition. That's what I think. It's something that you saw. I saw many people who had their eyes open should have seen at least 10 or 15 years ago coming. And I think that what they're trying to do basically is collapse the republic, and they're just about there. I think also, in part, I have to blame largely, and I always do this, and I've done it before on your broadcast. Well, I blame these evil leaders, I don't want to call them leaders, let's say evil powers, all right, for doing this. I, to some portion, blame the American people for being apathetic and pursuing, as was said earlier on a tape, hedonistic pleasures. Well, they should have been concerned with their survival and their nation and their self-respect and dignity. I blame them in part for that, too. Now, the next thing I wanted to move on to was these bailouts. Well, I do agree that we shouldn't just give the auto industry a bailout, okay, and it's correct loan. How come such a level of concern about a $25 billion loan, but they handed the banks at least $700 billion, no questions asked, with a blindfold on? I mean, that something is wrong when you do the comparative analysis there. I have my theories as to why they did that, but I'm surprised that doesn't strike most people as strange. Make a big hullabaloo over $25 billion, and it's correct that they should. I'm not against that, but nothing over $700 billion. Hello? Hello?
Yes, Ron, I'm sorry, once I start interrupting, you'll never be able to get a word out. But listen, I appreciate your call, and I want to go to some other callers before the show has to end. But Daryl Rundis, your comments, I mean, it's a culture of corruption.
Absolutely, Alex. In fact, you know, you and I were talking about this, and I mean, this is economics 101. If you have a liquidity crisis with the banks, they don't have money because people are defaulting on their mortgages and they had written all this bad paper, you really want to, you know, get cash back into the system. Look, you don't take $350 billion, $700 billion, a trillion, whatever it is, and just give it to the same banks that squandered the money. That's the equivalent of me saying, hey, Alex, give me 10 grand. I'll hold it for you. I'll take care of it. And when you need it, I'm going to give it back to you plus 10%. And when you come to get the money, I say, hey, Alex, I'm sorry. I made some bad choices. I made some bad investments. I squandered your money. Really sorry. I feel really bad. So I tell you what, go take out a loan for 10 grand, give it to me, and then I'll give it back to you.
Well,
I mean, that's ridiculous. Nobody would stand for that. But all they had to do was give the money to the people, because if I gave you a check for 20 grand, where's the first place you're going to take that check? You're going to take it to the bank. You're going to deposit it. There's the liquidity issue crisis solved, right?
And then they can loan that out 10 times through fractional reserve banking. But instead, they're investing in China. They're investing in Europe. They're investing in infrastructure, buying it up. That's in the news today, that some of the bailout money from Bank of America is being invested in China. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, that's because they don't care about the people. I mean, I think it's time, and that's why we need to do this boot camp, because I think the American people and the politicians have forgotten who they work for, us. I mean, personally, if I ran my business the way they run the government, I'd have been broke a long time ago, or I'd have been replaced. I'd have been fired. So, you know, why we don't rise up and say, hey, we're not going to take it anymore, you're fired. You know, we're bringing in some new people or a new system. In fact, the best system that I've ever thought of that I think would be great, would solve all these problems, but it'll never happen because they don't want to give up their power, is to give the power truly back to the people. You know, maybe once a quarter, have everybody go vote on the issues. Do you think marijuana should be legal? Let the people vote on it. Should abortion be legal? Let the people vote on it. And then have their politician, their representative, go back to Congress and vote the way
they... Well, they can't let us do that because almost 70% are against abortion. It'd be banned. 80-something percent are against marijuana being illegal. It would be legalized. I mean, it's really weird. It, the Constitution and what's common sense and what the people want is actually what's popular, but they never allow it.
That's right, because then they would have to relinquish their power. See, it's the same reason why when the Jews turned Jesus over to be crucified, and that's why Christians should believe in conspiracies. I mean, they've happened throughout the course of history. The Jews conspired to kill Jesus in the middle of the night. And, you know, but they did it, and they lied about it and tried to cover it up later because they didn't want to relinquish their power. They were collecting all the taxes. They had power. They had authority over the, you know, of Jerusalem, and they didn't want to give that up. And so when you examine people's motives, it's pretty simple. I mean, come on, use your common sense. Who spends, I forget what Barack just spent to become president.
$2
billion. $400 million. Okay, billions of dollars to get elected to a job that pays you $300,000 a year.
Hold on. Stay there. Here we go, folks. I'm going to skip this break, too. I'm going to skip this right now on the internet so we can get some of these calls in, and we'll come back to the full audience with Daryl so you can finish that thought so it's congruent, Daryl, about the $2 billion with all the special interest total, and McCain spent about $800 million. Let's go ahead and go back to the calls. Eric in Illinois, and then Max and others if you're still there. Eric, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had a question about private mortgage insurance. My understanding is private mortgage insurance is supposed to take care of your loan if you default on it. So why a big bailout?
Well, because the insurance, the insurers themselves, AIG and others, they have all been running scams and selling derivatives. Daryl, you want to explain that?
Well, exactly. They just don't have the money to take the insurance. And so, in fact, when we were talking about this, Alex, on another kind of scamish kind of thing, you have all these local governments, you know, city government and county governments and state governments who have sold municipal bonds. They've sold tons of bonds that now they can't, you know, when these bonds come mature, they can't pay them. And so they're going to have to go deeper in debt to do it. And if they don't get their loans, they're going to go bankrupt. And not only that, what you're going to see, and I've seen this tons of times already, just on the way to Hawaii when we drove from Denton to DFW Airport, I saw 10 cops giving out tickets. I mean, you're going to have the IRS sending people notices saying you owe money even though you don't. You're going to have local city, counties, and governments. I mean, people, check your housing appraisal. Your house, the value of your house has gone up as far as tax purposes go, even though all reports show that housing prices have cut in half in some
place. Absolutely. So, challenge it. Demand they lower it. You're absolutely right. And by the way, Daryl, what you're saying is in the news. The police are writing more tickets, squeezing. Now, because property taxes are going down, even when they still try to rig them, they're now just doing general assessments saying, well, our small town is going to have to fix the roads, $20,000 per family. And people are like, we don't have it. They go, oh, we'll just take your house then. I mean, what are they going to do? Just be like piggish government people sitting on top of thousands of empty houses? I mean, they're just such bastards.
Well, exactly. And the fact of the matter is, look, if you're a scam artist, okay, and you give me 10 grand, I don't care if you want your 10 grand back. I'm not going to give it to you. And when I got all the power and authority and autonomy to do whatever I want, no accountability, what recourse do you have? What
Eric,
are you going to do? Go tell the cops? The cops are bought off. So,
Eric, anything else?
Yeah, well, I was one of those crazy people. I put 10% down on my house when I bought it, and then I called the bank and I said, you know, hey, I looked at my escrow statement and I said, hey, I understand that I'm paying principal, I'm paying interest, I'm paying taxes and insurance for the house, you know, if it burns down or something. I said, what's this PMI? So they told me what it was. So since then, I went ahead and I paid the other 10%. So now I own 20% of my house. I'm not paying private mortgage insurance. But most people are, and even if you don't default, you're still paying that insurance. It's just like if you're paying insurance
I hear you.
For your
listen,
house and it doesn't...
Listen, we're out of time. We're out of time. I need a five-hour show. Here we go. You know, I want to go to Max and Abraham and Nick, but we're out of time. Daryl, I'm going to have you back up next week for a full hour, not just 30 minutes, to talk about what you witnessed, what you saw at the in the Fed going on, and we're going to be out at the JFK Memorial, and just a lot of other stuff going on. And we'll videotape you know, you talking to crowds of people, because you are a very effective salesman. That's why your company's made tens of millions of dollars. And we'll show folks an example of using sales techniques to sell the truth and get people to pay attention. It's really simple once you see it, but you'll notice that most of us aren't using these techniques. Let's jam in another call here. Max in Indiana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I've been, I just wanted to compliment you for your great work. I've been following you for like 7 years now.
Thank you.
And since you were talking about Eric Holder, I just wanted to say something real quick. I heard the other day on, I think it was Democracy Now!, he's also defending the Chiquita Corporation for allegedly financing some paramilitary groups, like $1.7 million.
Yes.
Down in Colombia. So, yeah, that was just...
No, no, they want something. They want gangsters as the attorney general. And, I mean, this is basically the Clinton and Bush administration merging.
Absolutely.
Daryl, is that horrifying you to see what Obama's doing?
Oh, yeah. I tell you the truth, Alex. They're all a bunch of puppets whose strings are pulled by the power elite. You know, so I think, in fact, within the power structure, you really have two different classes. You know, you have, like, the Bilderberger socialist type of class, and that's why you saw Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton get together in their little secret meeting earlier this year when Obama abandoned the press on his airplane. And it just so happened when you were there in town, they were having Bilderbergers in Virginia, that that all happened. But then I think you got the Bush side of things, which is more the, you know, let's say you got the socialist on Barack's side, and then you've got the more fascist, corporatist, you know, type of side. And I think those two factions kind of war against each other for power or you know, to kind of have their agenda pushed. But in the end, it's all the same big group that's controlling everything.
Absolutely. Anything else, Max?
I wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about yesterday about World Trade Center number 7. And I've seen a lot of I've done my own research. I've seen all of the movies that are out there and everything. And I was surprised that nobody ever tried to connect the flight that went down in Pennsylvania with the World Trade Center number 7, because if you... That's just my personal assumption.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that that was meant for that building, and then they were going to blow it up, but that it got shot down, and it was in a beeline for that, but it was also in a beeline for Washington. We appreciate your call. I want to jam in Abraham. Sorry to Nick. Abraham in Washington, you're our tail gunner with Daryl Rundis and Alex Jones.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? I just wanted to ask your advice about something. I'm going to be going before the city council up here where I live to get a piece of legislation blocked to have cameras in.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know the best way to approach it, because I've got two of the councilmen's ears. You know, they're pretty good friends of mine, and I want to know how to approach that. They're also interested in stuff to repeal the Patriot Act.
Okay, well, I mean, it's just a declaration that the Bill of Rights is still alive in their town. 800-plus cities and 7 states have passed it. You can Google that, pull it up. And I would just point out that it's going to be used to surveil and control the people, that they have studies in England and in D.C. and New York that surveillance cameras do not deter crime, and that it's associated for some strange reason with higher crime. And so that's basically what I'd tell them. You can Google those terms and pull them up. Appreciate your call, Abraham. Back live tomorrow, folks. Rebroadcast starts now at InfoWars.com. Daryl Rundis, I'm going to see you this weekend, buddy.
All right, can't wait. I guess I'll meet you at the grassy knoll around 11 from the sound of it.
Absolutely. We'll see you then, my friend. Take care. There goes Daryl Rundis. Rebroadcast starts now at InfoWars.com on the streams.